You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you. Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Good afternoon. It's a Thursday and it's the 10th of September. And you are listening to Home Run on your number one talk radio station, that's here on Eagle FM with your favorite duo and your favorite show. That is your drive time show, Home Run. Mr. Links.
The listeners, Helmut, myself, yes.
You're making it sound like that guy that went viral, I think about a year or two ago, that I wished himself, you know, good night. I love myself so much. Good night to me.
I think that's the way to go, eh? That's the way
well, to go. Self-love, dude. Self-love.
Yeah, you've got to acknowledge all protocol observed.
Well, the guys in tech are, you know, are working on the alternative if you have the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can just, buy a synthetic one.
It's a... Helmut, did you see this thing about the win by
what
the
win?
AfD in Germany?
Did you see the far-right win party, that's how they're describing it. They labels around.
Yeah, the Europeans are describing it as far-right.
Yeah.
But did you see who wished the AfD?
Who is that?
A couple of the American billionaires.
Well, those guys are okay. Those guys are a bunch of those guys are behind Tony Robbins in the UK.
Yeah, Tommy Robbins in the UK, yes. And you know this, the situation is.
And you know the irony is that a bunch of the quote unquote billionaires are very conservative in the sense that they like to portray themselves as very religious and.
But they don't actually they don't actually go to church.
Not just that. I think the irony is I think they just have they like to put on that alter ego so that they can appeal to the large Christian majority, and it's working. Yeah, yeah.
That's true.
It's working.
Yeah. Well, and another concern has always been like that famous Peter Thiel, the interview of earlier this year or last year, the one. Where he was asked, do you like humans? And he went like, he was making such, really guys, he was making such sounds. The guy kept asking him, the journalist kept asking him, so you want us to buy your things, you are developing products for us, but do you like humans? And the guy was, he didn't want to say yes or no definitively. Yeah. So,
A bunch of your tech guys are very, I think it's something, my perception, my conclusion of a lot of this mentality, of the mentality of the, of the ultra wealthy. And of course, not all of them. I mean, Dolly Parton could have been a billionaire if she wanted to, but she just, liked helping in comparison to a bunch of people with a lot of money. But, the thing is, when you look at, figures like Peter Thiel, for example, the only way to Elon Musk falls in that category is like these guys are have so much money they are basically drunk on power.
Yeah.
And which is why take the dialogue for example.
Yeah.
What kind of nonsense is that?
Exactly.
It's
people with money.
Yeah.
It's like the thing that I watched last night that I just switched off my YouTube and changed to a completely different theme there.
Yeah.
There's the ambassador that Trump has, the ambassador to Italy, the U.S. ambassador to Italy, is a billionaire. Homeboy, he's got his personal yacht there in the harbor of Rome.
Uh-huh.
And he constantly hosts parties for European elites and rich people, from Europe specifically, to basically influence policy on Europe.
So diplomacy, diplomacy have left the chat a long time ago.
Back in 2025.
A long time, exactly. Yeah.
Back in 2025.
Diplomacy is not in the room. It's just bribes.
It wasn't even a tag.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a description like what we submit every day for our programs after we're done.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a description. It's diplomacy is not there.
I know it's not.
If we can look at the recent attempts, for like in a Namibian context, for example, what was that AI thing for agriculture?
Oh, the satellite monitoring.
Yeah, and then it gets withdrawn.
Yeah.
And then we hear about the reduction in HIV financing.
Mm-hmm.
And then a joint statement has to be mentioned. But you hear something and then there's a negative. So you could constantly see the probes coming into the African continent. For example, like the health data on the other African.
The data consents from a lot of countries that were reluctant, and some of them just refused to sign the America First Global Health Strategy.
And two of them went and signed, and when they came back, their courts told them, "Hello, you did something unconstitutional.
You should have read this thing."
Yeah, you did something unconstitutional. South Africa is also apparently in the same earlier this year for that same health information or health data. But the thing is, why are they collecting our data?
You know, David said something that hits the nail on the head on Monday. And there's a part where he said that when we see, take for example, a bunch of guys with money showing up on the African continent, it doesn't matter what they're investing in, whether it's education, agriculture, or health. Mm. Ask yourself one question. If they're investing in agriculture, are there no agricultural initiatives to invest in their country? Are there any initiatives to invest in health in their country? Of course.
Yeah.
In education in their country? Of course. Now, with that question in mind, I want you to ask yourself, but it's David's point. So David wants you to ask yourself, why are they leaving the agricultural, health and education and all other initiatives in their country with all this money? And then why are they bringing this money here? Because if it was about just solving health or education problems, they would have invested this money at home. They are bringing that money here. Why?
Okay.
The bottom line is, it's a business, people.
No, it's not.
That's a very easy way of thinking about it.
It's not just a business helmet.
Yeah.
I'll explain to you one easy thing.
Yeah.
It's a question that David cited that you're citing.
Yeah.
But the one easy thing is what they're currently doing.
Yeah.
They are busy trying to bypass the UN. Please remember when we did the program earlier the year, at the start of the year, the host of the UN agreements that they withdrew from the United States.
Yeah.
They are trying to establish direct.
Basically a competitor of the UN.
What's the thing's name? The unipolar reference that Putin kept referencing. You know, one country decides for all countries.
Yeah.
Now they want to establish a direct channel of communication, dictating directly to you. Hence the reason why the discussion looks now as brutally honest as it comes in.
Yeah.
It's an exchange for your resources.
Exactly.
We're not beating around the bush
like we used to do a couple of years ago.
We don't care about your constitution. Yeah. We don't care about your laws. We don't care about international agreements. The third one was also the question supposedly that the MP Chob Amopanda asked in Parliament the other day about whether or not Namibia was approached by the US about the ICC, International Criminal Court.
Yeah.
Namibia was a signatory to it, but the US is not.
Yeah.
The US, UK, and who's the other guy? Israel. They was not signatories.
No.
And Russia is also not a signatory. And so too is, I assume China is not. But the ICC, basically, is most, like we already explained, it's when two conflicts exist between two countries, they can take each other to court. That's not the UN one?
No, that's the ICJ. The ICC prosecutes individuals. The ICJ prosecutes states.
Yes. The ICJ is when it's about states.
Yeah.
the ICC is when it's about
individual
can literally go to bad actors on the ground.
Yeah.
But before we actually continue, we've got a short break coming up. We'll be back right after this, guys.
Get so much more.
You get so much more with the ShopRite price because we buy in bulk and pass the savings on to you. Save on 750 mils Rite brand sunflower seed oil, only $29.99, and 500 grams Rite brand spaghetti or macaroni pasta for a low $9.99. 2 kg Marathon light brown sugar, just $36.99. Deals valid until 20 September 2026. Get so much more with the ShopRite price.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. So the competition is fierce, and that's in the global sphere of things. And this whole thing always takes me, especially in especially in the world of politics, the discussion around how things are basically discussed in the world of politics almost always takes me back to what Noam Chomsky said, that violence, or more like propaganda, is to democracy what violence is to dictatorship. Yeah. Because if you look at the amount of money that's being spent on PR, and now, generative AI seems to be slowly taking over that, role. And, this is something that just popped out of, popped out of Mali through Senegal.
Yeah.
That AI is constantly being used in dis- and misinformation campaign. I'm like, first of all, AI is being used, but mis- and disinformation in the form of PR is, it's one of the oldest arts in terms of countries painting, countries' rivalry, painting their adversaries, the adversaries as bad guys and themselves as the good guys.
Mm.
Yeah, that's why one guy on TikTok pointed out that, isn't it fascinating that all wars that have ever been fought in the history of mankind have always been won by the good guys?
Good guys.
Yeah. Because after winning, they write, they write the history that when those guys that lost the war, those are the bad guys. We won because we're the good guys. Debatable, thanks to the internet right now. Now, speaking of, discussion in the political sphere, but, and the fight for more like a sphere of influence. I think this is where, our discussion for today here on Home Run now become, that's what makes it a very interesting one, because space science involves more than just, your sci-fi space exploration. First of all, the science is not there yet. But we're just talking about, having sovereignty around space, around your airspace. And also the technology in relations to mostly navigation that your country uses. You want to be in charge of that. Because, if you outsource that and you piss off the guy that you also outsource the technology to, then they can just switch off the navigation system. And even if you have the most advanced weaponry, they can't aim. They are pretty much useless without the right navigation tools. And I think that's one of the reasons why Iran had to change from GPS to Beidou in China. The Chinese one.
It's not just that.
It's very easy to jam. If you are fighting me and everything, you are using my navigation system, I'll just switch it off.
Yeah, but that's just why you've got now these three major navigation systems existing now.
Today. They're basically popping up everywhere.
Yeah. No, but it's now three main ones.
Yeah.
And then the Iranians decided, you know what, let's shoot our own.
Yeah.
They also basically developed their own. Why? Because...
So they're not using the Edo anymore?
Well, it's now them, it's India.
Yeah.
China already was Mr. One before them.
Yeah.
Before China, it was the EU.
Yeah.
And then obviously it was the Americans first. Everybody's now realizing, try and be independent from what's technically from the Americans and from Europeans.
Yeah.
The other concern has been the, when you look at obviously space science, it's always our continent. And guys, I'm going to be as realistic as always again, as I always am.
Mm-hmm.
So earlier today, I saw another, an acquaintance's WhatsApp status. She had this, her wallpaper is, it shows some guy, I don't know who the guy is, but not that I care about the person who's in the on that great black and white photo.
Yeah.
But above it says there, Africa is the greatest continent. And I sat there frowning because like always just in history, you know, the realities like you just mentioned now, the one that writes the history is always the one that beat up the other party. And in so many cases, you know, us Africans, we were beaten up many times.
Blue, black.
You know, we were even sold as farm utensils.
Yeah.
We were even classified in some cases as subhuman, or we weren't even recognized.
In a lot of cases.
As even having human rights. And then someone comes and says, Africa is, I'm like, what realities? What realities are you speaking to yourself which does not exist?
Well, we'll have to employ our own PR since everyone has their own PR. So.
Yeah. So now here's the great concern that I cited from that Nehamon.
Yeah.
Because once again, you can obviously see, and I think this is probably why the South African Parliament and the South African, I'll call them influencers from the South African government. I say influencers because remember back when we did the... Well, I have to use that because they were trying to influence a narrative at the Pan-African Parliament back in last year,
yeah.
In 2025.
Yeah.
Remember when I told you about that extraordinary thing that was happening in South Africa when the Pan-African Parliament was busy here in June, July last year?
Yeah, it's always extraordinary.
I told you, Helmut, the South Africans are busy with something. Because remember at that time,
yeah.
Donald Trump was sort of like, you know, he was being stoked by, what's his name? Elon Musk about the supposed white genocide.
White genocide.
Yeah, which even... The fellow white South Africans.
White people went to the White House and they told a white guy in the White House, dude, what genocide are you talking about?
What are you talking about? What are you smoking even? Who's telling you these nonsense?
Elon Musk told me, when last was that guy even in Africa?
Only he knows. Only him and his brother. Him and his brother who are referenced in the Epstein files.
Mm-hmm.
Only they know.
Oh no, no! Don't bring up the reference. You know.
They are referenced in the Epstein.
Look, I don't know about the brother, but Elon Musk was referenced in a very, 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 very. You know, actually, in the most laughable way, because bro was literally begging.
Yes, and it's him and his brother.
How the heck is a billionaire begging?
It's him and his brother.
It turns out, well, to Jeffrey Epstein, it doesn't care how much money you have. You're gonna have to beg to attend his party.
Yeah. And it's not even like Jeffrey Epstein created any notable product. It's not even like he created HIV vaccine that annihilates HIV. No, he didn't create anything. Homeboy just had money.
You know one thing that I learned from Jeffrey Epstein, minus all the immoral stuff. One thing I learned from him is that the best way to deal with politicians when you have enough money is forget voting, just blackmail them. It works like a charm. Yeah. Yeah.
Just throw a bag of money on their desk and say...
And I know... Look,
why does that sound like what the South African police were doing to their newly appointed generals?
Oh, absolutely.
Just show up and build a wall.
Yeah, yeah.
The wall is fine. You just knock down that one, we build you a new one. You say,
yeah,
now it looks better.
Yeah, now it looks better.
With the money we spend on it.
Yeah. And now, a part of the money that we stole, we used some of it to build you this wall. So if you report the money that we stole... The investigation.
Just remember to point to your wall.
It's the receipts are going to lead to this wall.
just know, it's your wall.
That's the most diabolical thing. Like, what are you going to do, man?
Report? No, I will still report.
You're going to go to jail, you know.
How can I go to jail if I didn't sign off anything, but I can say, yeah, here's the wall they built.
Well,
yeah, but who built it? Those guys. Well, yeah. Who gave them the money? I don't know, but they came with the wall.
This is where, okay, you do realize that a part of the money that, you know, they stole a lot of money. That's why they used some of it to build a wall for you. Some of it they gave to a bunch of newspapers and radio stations, TV stations. If you report, your name is going to be, and you know how sensational, how some of them can be very sensational. Mm-hmm. You're going to be on the front page hour after, gavel after gavel. That case will be covered.
Yeah, I will go sit there, say, yes, 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 honorable. And then ask, so, general, how did we get here? Well, somebody showed up and built a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Did you build the, no, I didn't build, I can't build walls.
On kind of commission.
You know, I can't build walls, you know, for the life of me. Yeah, but how did they get it? Well, I heard there was a
fund. That's a funny story.
And then, what fund? Well, it's a crime intelligence fund. For who? For the police. For the intelligence services, for the army, you know, everybody can use this fund.
Yeah, but that war story is scary.
Okay, so where's the audit? Where's the financials of this fund? I don't know. You'll have to ask the minister. And then your minister doesn't know where this fund is.
Minister turns into Peter, denies you 7 times. It's called double it.
What fund? We don't know of such a fund. We don't know where this money comes from.
I've never heard of this man.
I've never... I know where he works, but I don't know who this guy is.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened during the Mangadla Commission. Guys that have pictures together with this guy?
I don't know this guy.
I've never seen
I don't know who. Actually, the funniest was the guy with the multiple blue book,
everyone said,
the guy with the blue.
Oh, Kate Matala.
Yeah, the guy with the blue.
With a bunch of blue Lambos.
Yeah, with the blue Lamborghinis. It was he. What did he say? No, I've never seen the president before. And then he's there in a photo.
look.
No, was it the president or the minister?
No, I think. Hang on a second.
Where he walks up, the video that shows him walk standing right next.
No,
to
I think. No, hang on a second. They were standing right in front of my, you know,
of his house, yeah.
Of Matala's house.
Yeah,
I think
and
that
one
was,
of the blue Lambos was in the background.
No, I think I'm not sure if that was the president or the president's brother.
Isn't it not the minister? Minister Nkunu.
I don't see which one of those.
Because the denial was, I think, about knowing the minister.
Mm-hmm.
And
but they appear together in the picture right in front of...
No,
in
the video.
Yeah, at the front gate of the man's house, yeah.
And the blue Lamborghini is standing behind the three of them in the background.
You can play Peter when the authority shows up.
Yeah... I mean, Helmut, that's what makes South Africa fun.
Well, the goal is deny.
On TV. That's what makes them fun on TV, you know?
Yeah, you're right about that. And for some reason, they have a very soft spot for us.
For us, Namibians?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
There's a video that went viral.
What, that says what?
Yeah. Boy, we were cooking them like crazy. And then some of them started coming into the comment section and started cooking themselves. That... Yeah, that.
And most of those people that are cooking themselves in South Africa, they've never even been to Namibia. They just know we are there. Somewhere.
Yeah, that Namibia say they won't be invaded by. Yeah, they won't be invaded by a direction.
Whose direction?
South Africa. Look.
They don't have.
I'm telling. Look.
The name of the direction is a name.
Their name is basically a direction. But anyone that basically saw that video, because I found it on TikTok. I read I read the comment section, and a bunch of those guys were just cooking themselves. I'm like, okay, now you guys are doing great. So wait, now let's talk space.
Yeah.
So let's talk space. Now, today's home run discussion is going to be based on our main source of reference is going to be the Namibia space program. I want to say the space bill, space science, basically. Space science bill. So it's not a law yet. It's just a bill. In other words, they're still cooking it. Yeah, they're still cooking it. So why is this important? Why is this a very important discussion to have? For one, I think, you know, for those of you that have seen our description, then we really tried to the best of our ability to put our collective knowledge together and sort of like encapsulate what the significance of space science for a country. My favorite part about space science, or just space in general, as an astronomy enthusiast, and well, I love, you know, well, I just love astronomy. Not astrology, no. One is based on science, one is based on just basically being nuts. You know, well, I'm behaving like this because I'm, you know, because I'm a, is it Pisces or Leo? No, you are crazy. There's a difference. Can you just stop using any of those? So you want to convince me that your questionable behavior is based, you know, is caused by some motion of celestial bodies. Just grow up and behave. Now, we're moving on. Astrology, yeah, not a subscriber. Astronomy, on the other hand, oof, boy, I love astronomy. Now, the reason why I started off with the navigation example, because that's, for me, space science brings, you know, contributes significantly to a country's, climate change solutions, because early warning systems are based on satellite observations. And that's one of those things that I actually don't recommend that a country outsources, because if you outsource your satellite imagery, whoever you're outsourcing this, you know, whoever you're outsourcing this this information to, how sure are you that they are not, you know, gathering more than you have, you know, more than you they are telling you? So, for me, space science, easily spills into early warning systems for climate change and disaster risk management, and also national security in terms of your country's, you know, your country's, or more like, in our case, for example, Africa coming up with our own navigation system.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the whole thing becomes a, you know, becomes a national security very fast. But now that we live in, you know, we are a semi-arid country, and we get much of the information about, you know, the upcoming weather patterns or the weather forecast of the next 2-3, maybe 5, maybe 5 months. Most of it is coming from, from countries, from institutions that work, that are based in countries that have their own satellite gathering this information. Now, at the beginning of this year, I went on Google Maps.
Mm.
Yeah, and we're just sitting with my very wonderful neighbor. So we opened up Google Maps, and then we just opened up, you know, the street satellite view, and just turned the whole thing to look at the front, you know, to look in front of our house. And I was actually, to this day, I'm still laughing at her, because that, She didn't know that Google Maps could do that.
Mm.
Like, okay, we're in the 21st century. You should have known that.
Mm.
But the thing is, the information is so detailed. It's so detailed in terms of satellite views. But the thing is, the information is not based here.
Mm.
So we want information like that, that we own, that we can use to predict our own, is there any possible El Nino, or is there any possible rainfall patterns that are too extreme or too low, and how can we prepare ourselves? All these things can be can come in handy if you just advance your space science.
Yeah. Yes, it can.
Yeah.
And also transportation, but from what I saw, Helmut. And this is not just getting back to the public stakeholder engagement that I attended.
That the whole discussion, the space science bill was based on.
Yeah, yeah. That comes from. So a few sort of like things to clarify for the listeners as well. So what we currently have, if you guys are asking a question in terms of, okay, so where's all this conversation coming about from the space science
discussion?
Space science and technology law drafting. Or the draft itself, or the bill itself. Well, first and foremost, Namibia does have a space science and technology policy. But apparently, I think that policy, it lapsed because it had like a fixed time frame. I think it lapsed.
The one from 2021.
The one from 2021. But I think it lapsed in 2025 last year.
Mm.
And obviously, when the Comas region's engagement took place in last month, and when I attended it, the deputy executive director for innovation, that being Mr. Lisho Mundia, they've got a whole bunch of them have got the title doctor in front of them, but
yeah,
because of journalistic purposes, we can only apply the honorific of doctor to a medical doctor.
Yeah.
If anyone else who's a doctor, I'm sorry, guys, you are just, you know, you are just standardized. So we standardize you. So
standardize.
So Mundia explained it there that they've had the policy, and then they've been lobbying basically to actually push from a policy level to literally becoming an actual piece of legislation in the coming future.
Enforceable one.
Yeah, and with an agency, with an actual body. So let me cite you a couple of things, dear listeners, that speaks towards, for those of you that are looking for the employment creation, and for the keen eye of my co-host Helmut, who constantly, you know, loves pulling out his whip for the politicians and the policy and lawmakers who say employment creation.
Yeah, 500,000.
Yeah. So the nice thing is now, Helmut, this space science and technology bill promises the agency. You've already seen the agency.
Yeah, yeah.
So it promises the agency. Remember back to the nuclear bill?
Yeah.
That we also cited? It also promises an agency.
Yeah.
So two more SOEs planned.
Very sciencey.
Yes. Then you can forget about politics, then those two things.
Forget that.
The science must be proper there. You can maybe allow administration to be slightly politicized, but everyone else in those two organizations must be scientists.
The politicizing of administration, we don't want to end up with a Chernobyl. So what we want is to make sure that everyone is as science as they come.
Yes.
So don't run away from math.
Exactly, guys. Don't run away from math. There's another authority that I realized. Our punching bag, the National Arts Council.
Hang on a second.
They also have to become a standalone agency. The lottery board as well also has to become a standalone.
Jeez.
But the lottery board, currently they've got a smallish office. But by the way things are going, from the discussion when I went to the what's the responsible gambling conference?
Yeah.
And before that, the start of the year, when I went to the discussion about competitions, where the lotteries board also presented, where I got to ask my questions to the CEO.
Yeah.
What you can see there is that they also have to expand in function, in scope, and in regulation. So more employment. Then it's who's the other one? There's another agency. The things that the Minister of Works and Transport and his ministry are busy doing with the NAM Air business. But yeah, that one has more potholes in it than some of the streets in Windhoek. That whole discussion, because it seems like they're gonna defer operation. They want to defer operations to Ethiopian Airlines or Airways, which once again was just a dead rubber from the get go. Because if you're gonna defer certain particular things, because there is that thing on under African, what's that thing's name that we did 2 years back? There is a specific line in the civil aviation space of Africa where one country can help another country with driving traffic, specifically through connecting airports in that manner. But it comes, it you can basically see that it's based on a commercial, it is based on a commercial contract.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing that happened, which I still believe is the jinx in the whole situation. Namibia was this close to getting to the, this close, guys, not even a millimeter. We were this close to getting to the FIFA World Cup last year. And then MESAC goes along with NFA, goes and signs that thing with Botswana. We were winning lovely and drawing lovely in Johannesburg.
Winning and drawing
now, now we have to get used to Francistown in Botswana.
Yeah.
And we lose the last two matches. Just like that, Namibia is out of the world. We were this close, but because people were worried about paying $1 million a month to basically reach the World Cup, you could have just bitten the bullet just a little longer. Just 2 months longer. No.
Yeah, I decided to speed it.
Yeah. So, but that's something besides the point. So, on the cards, Helmut, from the other discussion, remember the one where you and I were counting the bills that have to be enacted, and we are far from it because what are the opposition parties busy with? They're busy trying to remove the Speaker of the National Assembly, which is an absolutely ridiculous tactic, because if you ask it in the broader scheme of things,
yeah,
with the economic climate Namibia is finding itself in, you have to ask the question of, are these opposition parties serious with life?
Just how important is what we are talking about?
No. How important is what they are busy with?
Yeah.
The kangaroo antics, the kangaroo court antics that they're busy with,
in
the broader scheme of things of improving Namibian lives?
No, it's not.
It's not. In actual fact, it is not carrying any valuable water in my life, your life, the cab driver's life who is to look at another fuel and price increase.
Yeah.
At the end of this month, they're not doing anything. And what are they worried about? Just because they favor, and this is also where you can see a little bit of misogyny going on. Apparently, they like the way the deputy speaker conducts the house versus the speaker.
Ooh.
That sounds highly suspicious. Immediately I saw that there's a political genderization taking place here. It's definitely counterproductive to the national scheme of things of what the country wants to achieve.
Yeah.
So let the opposition parties go on with the kangaroo court antics that they are privileged with, because they are privileged to do that. They can do that in that setting. They are privileged.
Yeah.
When we get to the real life situation, for example, getting back to the space science and technology discussion. So Namibia has on the table the potential for 3 new SOEs to come aboard. I'm not counting Namibia Air. But Namibia Air plays a pivotal part because, for example, if, you know, the ball gets rolling, let's say from Minister Nekundi's side and his minister and his ministry and his advisors, the ball gets going and, you know, it now comes to making an investment decision and actually setting up a new SOE, this Namibia Air, so they get an act and they have to purchase their own hardware, meaning planes. They have to, once again, employ people directly.
Planes, plural.
Plural, yes, because you can't just fly around with one plane. Planes, plural, and it now participates. That agency, that SOE, will benefit from the Space Science and Technology
agency. Oh, definitely.
But at the heart of everything is also the discussion of civil aviation. Civil aviation sits in Ministry of Works. Space Science and Technology Agency is being driven by MESAC, specifically the innovation part of things.
Yeah.
And in that audience at that Commerce Regional engagement that I was now obviously at, just to cite to the listeners who was in the audience with me, I was the only media person, but there were a whole bunch of scientists, local specifically, and government-related scientists.
I'm so proud of us, because I know that if it was a corruption engagement,
the whole of Namibia would have been there.
Oh yeah,
claiming dividends that you were even wondering where do you have dividends?
But because it's science, everyone was like,
Ministry of Health had representatives there.
Yeah.
Ministry of, what was the other ministry? There was another ministry that was Ministry of Agriculture was present as well. Works, I did not see. I didn't see a guy from Works. a whole bunch of university staff. And then obviously the Space Science Council people were there, the current Space Science Council. And the Space Science Council is positioned within the, it's one of the councils under the NCRST. And NCRST falls under MESAC, or the Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sports, Arts and Culture, with its super name.
Mm-hmm.
So now you obviously see the dimensions. And then there was a whole bunch of private sector present. No, most notably Paratus. The big boss of Paratus was there, Mr. Barney Aramsa.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy from, what's the people that I went to? The guys with the satellite, that brought up the satellite internet, the low orbit, so it, what's that other service provider's name? How could I forget their name? But anyway, those guys, they were, their GM was also present. And then finally, there was a representative from the American embassy.
Yeah.
The only diplomatic representative there.
Space science. So they were, there are two people that showed up solo. You as a media representative and him as a diplomat.
Well, his technical was not diplomat, but it was suspicious that he's the only person from the diplomatic corps, which is plural,
mm-hmm.
who have direct relations with Namibia,
yeah.
who's there.
Yeah, you know, just went there to observe how Namibia is talking about space and... I would be sitting here defending him, but then, you know, his country just voted no to the African map. So, yeah, you can...
Do you know what made them unhappy?
Yeah.
If you looked at that African map situation, yeah. which will help with... If we launch satellites, ne?
Yeah.
Then we can actually say, yeah, America, hukum prachi paya. Why are you talking a lot? Look how small you are versus Africa.
Oh,
exactly because of that.
Africa's landmass is...
Because they got resized to such a scale because... Yeah. The maps now have to show actual scale. Because, I mean, it's in the broader scheme of things now, it's the business we are in.
Yeah.
Giving verified, factual information.
Yeah.
And the whole time, not that I can say basically that the current crop of American students are any more intelligent than a goat on our farms. But it's not my problem if all they know is Kim Kardashian and her family, but they don't know... You know, basic stuff. But anyway, so obviously the United States got rescaled to such a significant size, smaller than what it looks like on a map. And Africa got resized so significantly more larger on the African map. Because apparently on the Mercator projection that they kept using was, if you guys don't know what the Mercator projection maps are, they make the Northern Hemisphere a lot bigger.
Yeah.
To indicate, and it's a subliminal, it's technically a subliminal and a subconscious move that they do. But it actually plays on the understanding of the person, because the person can generate logic from the map by saying, yeah, but look how big the United States is versus Africa. Africa is a tiny continent. Ooh, wow.
Till you realize you can fit like about, three, maybe four of them.
You can fit four of the United States in the African continent.
I think...
And it includes Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
And it includes Greenland.
Greenland, you can fit 14 of them in there.
Yeah.
But if you look at the traditional map, I think part of the problem is the Mercator projection predates, I believe. Came out in the in the 1800s.
Mm.
Yeah. Now the thing is the map was predominantly made for one thing. Navigation.
Mm.
Yeah. And it was not made for teaching geography in the class.
Yes.
It was made for navigation. That way, it's a perfect map. But, when it was taken from navigation, from seafaring into learning geography in the class, that's when the information now happened really fast, because everyone, grew up believing that, Greenland is bigger than Africa.
Mm.
Until they realize, you know what, we have to, we have to fix this. So let's come together and vote at the UN.
Mm.
And the US was like, yeah, no, I'm
and
not.
And the US, did you see what the US ambassador said?
Mm.
Please let us spend our time on more productive things. Really? Everybody else went like 164 versus 1.
Yeah. More productive things like, first of all.
How to wage war against other people?
Yeah, thank you very much for that. No, and thanks. Also how to come up with what did they call that organization? Board of Peace, to basically counter what the UN is already doing. If we think of it this way, you shouldn't even be voting.
Yeah.
Now. So, when you look at it, when you look at the world of politics, it's just a bunch of fully grown men and women being very petty 90% of the time.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's why I think, when you look at the whole, space science discussion, for me, it becomes exciting, not just because I like astronomy. It's, because, it speaks into things like, my favorite of all in terms of, the aspect of the space science discussion is the national security in terms of navigation and,
they weren't the Ministry of Defense people.
They weren't there?
They weren't there.
Jeez, these guys are terrible at this. And it doesn't, you guys suck. And look.
Even though, Ne, when you look at the bill, Ne,
yeah,
the current Space Science Council, yeah, just for our listeners also know, the current Space Science Council includes two people from a scientific background.
Yeah.
One is a physicist. The other guy who's the chairman of the council, Dr. Matorwa, he's a chemist. Hmm. Then you've got a legal person. Then you've got a person in IT. Then you've got a person in engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And the last guy is the guy from the security cluster. He's mm-hmm. literally an MO, Minister of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's literally a Namibian Defense Force representative.
Yeah,
not a Ministry of Defense.
So he's part. Okay, so he's part of the council.
Yeah,
but he wasn't at the event.
Yeah, because I only recognize, I think, three or four of the council members from the previous year in 2023. When I went, 2025, 2024, yes. In 2024, when the Space Science Council was appointed,
because
I only recognized like three people. The one guy is not part of the council, but he basically advises them. He's the guy from UNAM, Michael Buckus, the other scientist. So there were two physicists in the room there with us. The concern from what I cited was, you definitely would have needed Ministry of Defense's or NDF's inputs into this bill. Now, a key thing for us to understand, Nehamud, is that I asked the question, I don't know if you heard the part in the second audio, I asked the question of, will the Space Science Council as it is today just be promoted up to basically become the Space Science Commission? The agency itself.
Then SOE.
Yeah. But meaning, because they're talking about a board in that thing, ne?
Yeah.
And will the council itself just be sort of like ascended into the board to basically lay down the groundwork, and then everything else cascades from there? Because remember, guys, there's still another, what's the other SOE, the information commissioner and commissioner from the actually, that's the agency that I forgot. That's the other agency that I forgot. So when you look at, for example, the groundwork being set up for this entity, the agency, you know, the obvious question I asked was, you know, will the Space Science Council become the board in this scenario to lay the groundwork? And then my question wasn't fully answered, but I could see Dr. Muptoro, when he heard me ask the question, he was doing this, shaking his head. Basically in agreement of the understanding of the question. But he said but his response in terms of his words was, it's not yet a defined period, it's not yet defined, it's not yet clear, because they first have to get the drafting done.
Yeah.
So this is a partial piece of the drafting, but the other additions and the other contributions that would have come from members of the audience and from the other visits that they had across the country, the other sets of drafting obviously have to, or the other sets of contributions obviously have to be incorporated or disqualified or rejected from the drafting. So the major thing that you've got to look forward to here, guys, is the agency itself.
Yeah.
Because much of the technologies we are currently using are already like foreign-owned technologies.
Yeah.
Everything basically in the studio that's sitting here around us
foreign.
Is foreign-made.
Both hard and soft.
Yeah. So, basically also the English that we're speaking from the famous from the famous New Zealand MP that we watched, the one that said that even the English know not to make English a what do you call it? A national
Like an official language.
And like an official language of the UK, because they knew it was a dumb idea, but hey, you know, come to Namibia, land.
I think one of the reason why they didn't do that is because now that I know that English is just multiple accents, which accent could they have chosen to be the official language?
No, but it's also because they know Hamoud, after that linguist that I cited, remember the French linguist that wrote in his book that English is just badly pronounced French. Yeah. And when I actually asked two French guys in a video game, is English really a badly pronounced French? They both said, yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, thank you, guys. Thank you for your scientific contribution for that 5 seconds. So, yeah. So, I mean, we obviously have to understand, guys, as we look at the creation of this new agency, what role it would play and what particular, functions we might look forward to. But here's the funny thing now, Hamoud.
Yeah.
In terms of role-playing or in terms of regulation, there's already infrastructure on the ground in Namibia's context related to space observation.
Mm-hmm.
There is the HESS observation station here, southwesterly from Windhoek in the Gamsberg area. The Gamsberg Mountain, which is apparently owned by a German university. Yes, a mountain is owned by a university, Hamoud.
In Namibia.
A mountain. It's the Max Planck University Institute, yeah, the Max Planck. The University of
Radboud. Has any relations to the Planck constant in math?
The Planck?
Constant.
What's the Planck constant?
It's a mathematics jargon. I think he must be one of the,
I think he is the guy.
Biggest,
because I think he is a scientist.
Yeah.
Max Planck. So I think it is him that you're referring to.
Max Planck Institute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a department of a university.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, then the university, the Dutch University of Radboud University is also going to set up a observation station for black holes. Them was the guys that came to Namibia in 2023 with the Dutch and Danish prime ministers to meet President Geingob at State House. So that one is already set in motion. That one is already happening. And it's most the same particular professor that did the presentation on black holes and black hole information at the Namibia Scientific Society here in Windhoek. It was an interesting discussion, absolutely eye-opening thing, because they realized Namibia, it's most Namibia and Chile and South Africa and Australia. We've got unique vantage points of that same black hole.
Because of our geographic location.
Yeah. But if you're in Europe, you see it from a different angle. If you are in the southern hemisphere, in those four positions, you get apparently the best vantage points of that same black hole. So, yes, the Europeans are very interested in black holes, and they are researching it. Namibia is obviously a successful beneficiary of that investment taking place, which is, once again, do you know how many students at the time we had that were present for that presentation, the black hole?
Mm.
How much? I think like 5 of them were honors, 3 of them were masters, one had just completed her doctorate in I think it was in physics or something. Mm. But she didn't complete the doctorate here in Namibia because she couldn't get it here. She had to be She had to go through those special exchange programs where she had to do the doctorate in Europe. So, slowly but surely, we're getting Namibians that are interested in this field.
Yeah.
Yeah. But before we continue, guys, quickly take a short break.
You know, there's something about opening a Tafel Lager that brings people together.
Yeah, and once people come together, the voices follow.
Ideas get shared, laughs get louder.
New perspectives come up where you least expect them.
Because when people use their voice, conversations start.
And those conversations, they can refresh a moment and even shape what happens next.
So, grab Tafel Lager and start the conversation. Tafel Lager, now we're talking. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Five o'clock on the dot, and you are still listening to Home Run with your favorite duo here on Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. And today's discussion is the space science bill. So, section 17. The minister may, on the recommendation, just remember, this is not a law yet; it's a bill. In other words, it's still under cooking.
Mm.
Yeah. So now that we have that out of the way, because wanted to point out that disclaimer. The minister may, on the recommendation of the agency in writing, establish space centers with relations to 1, the Earth observation, 2, navigation and positioning.
Yeah.
Now, if you are to look at things that need navigation, your planes need navigation, your ships need navigation. I know that when my pronunciation of of homonym English words more often confuse people. So when I say your ships need navigation, not the one at the farm, the one on water, those ones need navigation.
What ships are on the farms, Helmut?
Hmm.
Please help us.
The ships, the one that makes for awesome dinner.
Oh, you don't want chips?
Sheep. Animal sheep. Which is why I said I'm terrible with the English homonym words.
Helmut. Helmut.
I had to clarify that. Now.
Okay. Okay.
So you have but navigation is needed the most for me. Take for example, airspace.
Mm.
For countries like, if you look at countries like continents like Europe and countries like the US, those ones that have advanced tech, like Russia and China, their airspace is very tightly monitored. They are observing their airspace. Nothing gets in and out of it without them knowing. And that's not just done because they are paranoid. It's because, planes, it turns out, do find themselves in emergencies from time to time. So they, if you want to rescue, if there's someone that's calling in, for example, for an emergency, you want to detect them in time so that you can help them on time.
Mm.
Because when something goes wrong, 10 kilometers above the ground, yeah. When you are sitting in a piece of metal that's weighing tons, and you are the pilot, you have now 300 souls on your hands. Time is of the essence.
Yeah.
But the most important, in terms of tech independence that I like to reference and its significance in discussions like this is the 1993 Yinhe incident. I hope I'm not, I'm pretty sure I'm butchering that. Yeah, the Chinese cargo ship that was bound for Tehran that had, was stranded for, I think, over 20 days at sea because the Chinese were still using GPS at the time. And the U.S. had their, credible intelligence, quote unquote, that now there was, the plane, the ship was carrying some questionable cargo bound for Iran. Well, they just I'm not sure if they jammed or switched off the navigation system. The ship was stranded there. I think, you know, that's one of those things that made the Chinese go, you know what? There are certain things you can borrow. There are certain things that you just have to make yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's for example, also, Helmut, how we look at the space science engagement also through the navigation sector as well.
Yeah.
Another thing that also cites the particular eventuality that Africa will have to deal with. For example, if you now go on with this, if Namibia now establishes this agency, in the presentation that I saw last year when I went to China, we were taken there to a professor gave us a, there wasn't a PowerPoint definitely, but it was an interactive presentation that we were given about, you know, economic development specifically in the aeronautics sector of Jiangxi province.
Yeah.
So this professor explained to us how, in line with that example you just now gave, how the Chinese companies, at the first glance, they wanted to invite European and American aeronautics engineers to come and help build them their own planes.
Yeah.
But then the employers of these engineers, like Boeing and what's the one in France? Airbus.
Yeah.
Airbus is technically most an EU.
An EU project.
SOE. These guys told the Chinese, engineers, if that person is working on your project, anything that person contributes is intellectual property that we can leverage off.
So you owe us money.
Yeah. And you have to pay this person at this particular rate, which was also expensive, as according to this academic, as he explained it to us. So they realized, you know what, let's rethink this approach. Let's rather just adapt and start everything from from scratch. Now, when you fly, Helmut, on some of these smaller airlines, like here in Southern Africa, for example, the plane that what's the South African company's name? Air Link has.
Mm.
When I now recently flew to Zambia, that plane is the Canadian brand Embraer. It's a properly built, you know, slight medium sized,
passenger plane. Yeah.
But in comparison to the what is the Russian company's name? Aeroflot. In comparison to the Aeroflot plane that I observed when we were flying from Moscow to Sochi back in 2024, the Aeroflot one looked like it was just a shell with the seats just installed like that. Whereas the Embraer, which I now recently saw, they had, you know, certain, like the furnishings on the inside were slightly a little bit more to round off the product, man, They had extra plastic padding and covering between the actual actual body of the plane and so on. Because in the Aeroflot versions that we saw there of those Russian airlines, it just looked like the seats were just put in.
You know, one thing I like about Russia is, just ask yourself one question: does it work?
And if you can say yes, then they will say, okay,
fine. There's, there's one type of a glass, a glass cup that was made by the Soviets. That glass cup is one of the toughest glass to break.
Mm.
Yeah, and the question there's one guy that made a video on it on social media. Was pointing out that what happened to this type of glass, because it turns out there are still a lot of people that has the old Soviet version. This is just a whole different type of glass, and the technology is somewhat I think the Soviets left behind for the Russian is is so minimal and efficient that even when the U.S. and the Russians, even though they like to throw mud at each other, for the most part, their astronauts, NASA astronauts, use Russian tech to go to space.
Yeah.
So they don't trust each other on the ground, but when it comes to technology to go in space, you can never go wrong with Russia.
No. I mean, Helmut, I remember the famous ad that one of the South African insurance companies, because the South Africans must love developing these dramatic adverts, to sell their own consumer products. And one of them was the famous ad where it was apparently during the space race time in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
And the message was that the Americans realized when they sent up a regular ballpoint black ink pen for their astronauts. It was like a kind of, what's the system's name? A telegraph or telegram system.
Yeah.
You know, where the thing has to read the ink on the document.
Oh.
It's like a specific set form and the thing has to read the ink.
Yeah.
But the pen couldn't write in zero gravity environments. And apparently NASA spent like 10 years and millions of US dollars developing this pen with its ink that can write in zero gravity.
Yeah.
And this was already by the 1980s when this thing was literally approved for use.
Yeah.
Hanagam, the Soviets had been using pencil since the first man missions.
Yuri Gagarin.
The Soviets had been using pencils the whole 20 years.
Look, it's not rocket science, literally.
It can work. If it works, don't fix it. Don't change. So the Soviets were just using pencil the whole time. You know, they write their messages.
Yeah.
That has to be read by this machine. Then the Soviets just use pencil. And obviously, pencil, you know, the pencil gets read. Like what we learned with our Cambridge exams under the Cambridge system in Namibia.
Yeah.
Then the machine reads it. Because the machine can't read ink. That's what we were told.
Mm-hmm.
You needed that special paper and a specific pencil.
Yeah.
I think we had to use the HB.
HB, yeah.
Yeah. Because you couldn't just use H and you couldn't just use B. You had to use, and not the H, it was it H1? The one pencil? Or was it just H?
There was one that was lighter. Yeah, yeah. I think the category runs from H1, but the most common ones that I have seen is H and HB.
Yeah, because we had to just use HB.
Yeah.
And as an alternative, your last resort was the H.
Yeah.
You couldn't use B.
Yeah.
So, in that specific program, apparently that machine, it has the, which was the earliest format of AI even, Kekdar. And this was back in 2000. So this computer program would read your script with your pencil marks on it and then compare it to the right marks against the, what was the thing that they call it? I almost said the study guide. The memo.
Yeah.
Yeah. The exam, against the exam memo that was composed. Look, they already had AI. Now people are going crazy bonkers about AI. They already had AI in 2000 when I was writing my grade 10 exam.
Yeah, but that one did not generate memes.
No, Hamoud, no one cares about the memes. Do you know what most memes are created from?
What's that?
From a photo. You need a dramatic action in the photo, and then people are just going there, look here, Dwight and Helmut being serious again. That's it.
For the first time in the history of mankind. Yeah. I think that pencil joke was referenced in one of the, one of my favorite Bollywood movies, The Three Idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, the lecturer was explaining why engineering is important. And one of the story that he told was how the space scientists, basically, almost, coming out of NASA, had to spend billions of dollars trying to come up with a pen that can work efficiently in zero gravity.
Mm.
And he, put up his hand and said, "I have a question here. Why couldn't they just use a pencil?" And he was kicked out of the class.
It sounds like that time when that physics teacher of ours on high school, he was literally a scientist. I told you, most the Ghanaian teacher, Mr. Isiru. And every time, now, I could understand why the other boy, because look, I was new in Windhoek at that stage, grade 9 there. I could understand why the other guys were telling us, Dwight, you will meet now our physics teacher. So we still had physical science separate from life science.
Yeah.
And we get to physical science, first day that I'm there experiencing our physical science class with Mr. Isiru, because he also taught mathematics.
Yeah.
He was brilliant in both.
Yeah.
The one guy from the backbenchers in the class, you know, the designated, the one guy goes like, sir, what are we supposed to do with that information you're writing right now?
Like in a practical real life situation?
No, the guy literally asked the question, yeah. Sir, what are we supposed to do with that information that you're writing there? Then Isidu turns around and he says, look at it. Sorry, man, I had to slip that joke in.
Look at it. But I think that's a brilliant answer.
That day now I was cracking up so much. I couldn't keep it. I was like, what's going on in this class? What's going on in this class?
Look, West African guys got the best jokes. I game with them. I know.
I think it's the accent.
Oh yeah,
I don't
definitely
think it's
the
joke or the sarcasm or the wit. It's just the accent.
The accent is a significant part of it. And personally, I realized that one of the reasons why I always laugh, and I worked with two Nigerians, I laughed all the time.
They were probably angry every time you laughed at them.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because they were wondering what's wrong with Helmut.
Like, I'll ask, I'll ask you a question. The moment you start responding with distinct.
And like, was at that time that my brothers and I, we were in Zambia, and all we hear from the Zambians is just, these Zambians are close to Livingston,
yeah.
Close to Big Falls, here in southern Zambia. All we hear is just, Iwe, the whole sentence just starts with, Iwe. No, I'm like, what are these people saying?
Oh no, you've never lived with Zambians, have you?
No, we glided past those people, you know, past Francis people, to get into southern Zambia, and in southern Zambia, Iwe was just multiplied on
at times that.
It was just worse.
Let's come back to my navigation.
Yeah.
Education, defense in terms of navigation, and agriculture in terms of that proposal that was made by the US, and we went, yeah, no, we know you guys. You're not just going to be monitoring agriculture. You'll be monitoring agriculture plus. Where else do you see, you know, this space science discussion becoming very, you know, very important for, you know, for research? Obviously, the education becomes the center of it. I like how they list the members of the council basically here. The agency consists of 9 persons who, when viewed collectively, must be persons who present a broad cross section of the population of Namibia, including with reference to gender, and who possesses proven qualifications. I will read that again. Who possesses proven qualification, not proven connection, and expertise and experience relevant to the function of the agency.
Mm.
Who presents the following disciplines: geographical science, astronomy and astrophysics, and engineering for electronics and telecommunication. Yeah. Defense and national security, finance, of course. Actually, that one should have been, should have been at the top, and law and any other discipline relevant to research, science, technology, or innovation, which the minister may consider appropriate. Actually, I will go as far as saying the minister himself must know a thing or two about these subjects.
Well, okay, what does Minister Steenkamp have? What does she study?
Doesn't she have an advanced degree in education?
No, she's must have got her doctorate must now.
No, yeah.
So it's education.
I think so, but
no,
I'm
but,
not sure.
No, but the minister won't be on that thing. That's that. She won't be in that commission. But
yeah.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
The board, everybody will be scientists except for the NDF person.
Yeah.
Like I explained, the Science Council. Because that list you just read knows now.
Yeah.
Remember that there's a...
The qualifications you need.
Yeah. There's a last thing that says there and any other...
Any other, yeah. Basically leaving room for the minister to maneuver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not really.
Uh-huh. Well, you don't want to keep it in, you don't want to carve it in stones that these are the only things that you need. Otherwise, then we're going to end up with a public procurement, you know, cornering. Where, like, you know what, I would have procured these things, but then the definition of emergency is, well, you know, it's too strict for the situation that I had on the ground. So, a proven qualification. So, proven connection, noob.
No, but it already answers your other question about that everybody on that commission basically would have to be scientists.
Yeah, definitely.
Except for if you are from the, like what the space, what the council looks like today.
Yeah.
Where you also need an engineering guy and a, what's the person's name? No, there's a third, there's a fourth person there. There's a finance person, a person with an accounting background.
Oh yeah, finance is here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's now in the commission. That's now in the agency, the board. But I'm talking about now, like on the council itself, there is a finance person there, Ministry of Finance. And then there is the engineering, the legal, the legal person should also be there.
Yeah.
And then the MOD person. But my concern with the MOD person representative is the security class there is a lot broader than
just the than what one the phrase, ministry.
Yeah, than what the phrase.
So says. Have representatives of different security, you know, have someone representing the, you know, the police.
Which is under Home Affairs.
Yeah.
Defense, which is under Ministry of Defense.
Correctional service for when someone breaks the law inside, you know, in space.
No, don't worry, they can still get there. And then the immigration guys also, because remember when we did astrotourism?
Yeah.
The astrotourism report?
Yeah.
It's also an immigration component because that person is entering at the atmosphere again. Because remember, the Earth's surface and its atmosphere is a totally different environment. It's a completely different environment from the environment out in space.
Yeah.
Space is considered by NASA and by other space agencies as a different environment from Earth's environment.
And it literally is.
It literally is, because it's a zero gravity environment, and we are a zero positive, a gravity positive.
Yeah.
So, because the one lady, she made a good contribution, the lady from Ministry of Environment, she asked there, how was Ministry of Environment consulted on this? And while I was sitting there thinking, and then I put up my hand and I said, hey, listen, actually, to help that Ministry of Environment lady with her question, you guys have to define environment in this particular bill, because it's a completely different environment outside of the Earth's environment, because NASA classifies it, and we have to be in line, obviously, with this discussion. But there was another guy, Helmut, that popped up there. He was sitting right next to me, actually, who was talking about the that thing that we spoke about last year, the 1070th meeting of countries at the UN about the safe use of space, or the use of space for humanitarian needs, or not humanitarian, basically
For peaceful purposes.
But for peaceful purposes,
I remember that one. You know, that got HD asking, "Are you sure about this number?"
And we said, like,
that's how much meetings they have had.
They have had, yes. We don't know if the meetings have led to anything concrete, but the number is there.
Well, that you do realize that that's 1,000 plus times of all protocol observed and smile for the pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually the best comedy gold you can ever look forward to, because just imagining sitting in meetings for 1,000 times, the same meeting, but you're not reaching any conclusions on the meeting or the agenda of the meeting. So,
you know how they called America's, a bombing of Venezuelan fishing boats, how they called it, boat diplomacy. Gun boat diplomacy. Thank you. I think this whole discussion diplomacy, we need a name for this. Should we call it, salad diplomacy or smile for the picture diplomacy? The discussions are genuine, and I like the financial contribution that it provides to the hospitality industry, because most of these events are held in hospitality institutions.
Yeah.
Hospitality facilities. So I keep throwing around the word institutions like people are nuts. But what's coming out of it in terms of practical reality of, okay, this is what we engaged in terms of a discussion 2-3 years ago, and this is its manifestation on the ground.
Yeah.
We just, you know, just sit and speak fancy, you know, English, and we'll get SNT, and see you next year.
Well, maybe. Okay. I know earlier, the earlier half of this year, that when I consulted the UN, you know, our favorite resource, Helmut, the other resource that I think we've neglected for 8 months,
which up until
today, the UN TV.
Because oh, yeah,
in itself, it's a resource.
Oh, have to check
as well.
That out.
So,
At this time of the year, you can bet there's several events going.
Well,
on.
Well, end of this month, is going to be General Assembly.
Oh, yeah.
So, the peaceful use of space, which is a core concern for many countries,
mm-hmm.
Is still a very hot topic taking place at the UN level, but. Since the United States has now obviously decided to exit many UN-related agreements, bilateral agreements and multilateral agreements, because they made most of the accusation, apparently other countries are subverting the UN for their supposed ambitions, but... Let's ask the question then. Why was the UN hosted in New York?
No.
Why did the US?
Who is doing that?
No, but Donald Trump didn't must say the names.
Uh-huh.
He just made blanket accusations. That's most the thing about reporting on Donald Trump's developments, because you don't know if he's actually telling something factual, or is he being told to say something non-factual. Because he never said who is doing it. But you then realized in the engagements in the Security Council discussion that it's actually his country, the United States.
Yeah.
That's busy with subverting the UN for
its own
for
games.
Their own needs. And, I mean, the politicization is an ugly one that we're obviously seeing.
The thing about... geopolitics is that for the big players, everything, you know, it will always come down to one thing, whether it's their you know, diplomatic relations, economic relations, military alliance, all these things will boil down to one thing: influence. We want to be in charge.
Yeah,
that's it. And I like how we're having this discussion. And right now we are at that point where you are hearing a lot of experts, saying that the American empire is in decline. But if anyone that basically read a history book knows that when empires are in decline, that's when they are. You know, they're most paranoid and dangerous.
Yeah.
The behavior that we are seeing with the U.S. today was not invented by the U.S. The British behaved the exact same way.
Yeah.
The Soviets behaved the exact same way. When an empire is losing power, it starts to become, you know, to look at every problem. It basically, you know, it starts to brute force through every problem, even those that requires, you know, sitting around the table and talking things out. And this is, well, the British literally went to war with the U.S.
Mm.
You know, in an attempt to cling on to that great part of, quote-unquote, Great Britain. But the thing is, how the British treated the U.S. when the U.S. was rising as an empire is how, in my point of view, how the U.S. is trying to treat China right now. So, in other words... As a developing country, you are only supposed to develop until a certain level that doesn't threaten us. But if you reach a level where you are a competitor, you become the bad guy.
Mm.
That's a very imperial thing. It's embedded into behavior of empires. The Romans, the Greeks, they all behave the exact same way. So the U.S. did not invent something new. And any historical Puff basically knows that. So when we look at the U.S. today and start going like, why are they behaving like a rogue nation? Because, not just a rogue nation in relation to international law, a rogue nation in relation to its domestic laws. One of the biggest issues, especially, in the political spheres of the U.S. right now is How much Congress? How much power does Congress have in relations to because they're the ones that has the power to wage war. But you know, Obama just went ahead and bombed the heck out of Libya without going through Congress, and then Donald Trump has done the exact same thing. So what you're seeing is that the executive branch is, and fast forward to the 2013 Edward Snowden, espionage revelations. What all that showed is that the executive branch has seemed to have thrown caution to the wind in terms of going after what it fears to be losing. Geopolitics is awesome.
Today we are seeing with how we as Africans, which brings us back to that other thing which I picked a fight with someone else about, that the wallpaper which said Africa is the greatest, and I said, but
it's just being proud African.
The fact I'm looking at in Hint history that way is just showing how we just keep getting 5-0s all around every corner. You know, we are the amateur football. We're an amateur team participating in the English Premier League, ne? And every week we walk out to get 5-0 score lines, because our guys are all working in bakeries and restaurants, and they are delivery boys.
Yeah.
And, they have no time to practice.
Okay. One question that, especially when it comes to Africa, you know, how Africa was colonial, was colonized. One of the running jokes in the world of basically comedy and the colonialism combination is, every time that there's a boxing, there's a boxing video that I've come across on the African continent that that I've come across on social media that involves a black guy and a white guy. When a white guy loses, someone, you can bet 90%, 90 to 100% of the time, someone is going to write in the comment section, how did these people even colonize us? And there's one that involved a marathon. And black guys they crossed the finish line and they were still standing. And they have, a white guy was just lying flat on the ground. And it was also captioned, how did these people even colonize us? I'm like, okay, you know what? I know how they colonized us. It's because, first of all, look.
Instead of running to fight two people, they had guns.
That is the hardware part. There's a psychology part that we don't like to talk about a lot, every time that we talk about colonialism. We were butting heads on a tribal level.
Yeah.
When they showed up,
they just utilized.
Yeah.
What's the thing that the Romans had?
Divide and conquer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which the British just.
They just adopted.
Reapplied it.
Yeah, they reapplied it. So, when they showed up, your tribe was fighting with my tribe. Now, instead of coming together to look at them as a threat, we all ran to the same people thinking that, maybe these new guys will help me solve my Dwight problem.
Yeah.
Dwight also ran to the same people thinking that maybe these people will help me solve a Helmut problem. Well, guess what they did? They sold guns to both of us.
Yes, and then slavery came about.
Yeah. So, we were busy shooting the heck out of each other. Now, take for example, what happened if I was involved in a war with you and the settlers just showed up and I captured prisoners from your camp? What am I going to do with those prisoners?
Sell them as
slaves.
Yes.
And a couple of years down the line, and then the mask of the settler basically, the mask disappeared. That's when we realized, hang on a second, this guy is just here to basically divide and steal what we have. That's when I believe, that's when it clicked. And we're like, you know what? The Zambians are not our enemies. The Zimbabweans are not our enemies. We're going to have to come together. And, would you look at that? The war of liberation struggle. It turns out, when we work together, we can make something out of it.
Yeah, but we're not like that.
No.
Even till today.
No, we're only like that when we are getting our behinds kicked. As soon as we got our independence in the 1960s, then all of a sudden,
but Helmut, you are busy resuscitating the memories that I just shared yesterday of TCKD's attitude, the DRC's attitude, how they want us other Africans to fight their war for them that they created. And technically, what us as SADC should have done is we should have gone and spoken to Kagame and said, hey, listen, boss.
Mm.
You know, like the taxi drivers also always greet us like, listen, bossa.
Yeah.
You know, let's let bygones be bygones, man. You know, let's move on from this situation.
Speaking of taxi drivers, I don't speak Oshiwambo, but I know how to say Dino $10 boss. That means I don't have the extra $5.
That's undiplomatic.
Look,
you're now forcing that cab driver to look for the $5 for the other customers.
I'm just telling homeboy, you know, wrong time of the month, boss. I'm broke.
The thing
I like about them is as long as you point it out before you get to your destination, a lot of them that I've come across are very understanding.
Mm.
Yeah, they, what they don't like and just frankly unfair is for you to just hop in a car and then get to your destination. That's
and
when you just give them a fraction of the amount that you were, you know, you're supposed to. It's just not fair.
Mm. So yeah, that's what we should have explained to DRC and Tshisekedi in advance. I'm not here to fight your fight.
Look, and actually, if Africa invested a lot in their space science programs, I think it would be very easy to just utilize our own satellites if we invested in a lot of them to understand what's going on in some of these parts now the DRC part is basically much of Central Africa is covered by jungle, so a satellite map is not going to help much in that one.
No, what? Heat signatures.
Heat signatures?
Yeah.
Look, dude, it's a jungle. Heat signatures, there are a lot of mice and all kinds of animals that will have all kinds of different heat signatures in there.
Yes, Helmut. It will help them with the nature conservation because...
Nature conservation? No, you will think that this heat signature is a giraffe. It turns out it's an M23 commander. But
you will see an M23 commander, Helmut. The technology is not that outdated.
So we have all this technology.
The zooming function that the iPhone people are talking about, even the ladies. I met a PRO on Tuesday from the Ministry of Education who said, yeah, I bought my own iPhone. I'm not mentioning names because I know she listens to us. I bought my own iPhone.
She's going to kill you after this.
I'm so proud of myself. I sat there looking at the teller. I'm like, are you serious? She said, yes, I'm serious, Dwight. 15,000K. 15K. It's a lot of money. I'm like, what? For an iPhone. So anyway.
No, forget iPhone for a phone.
The person was bragging about the zooming in and out function. I'm like, and the quality of the pictures. And then she, do you know what is the reason for, which is basically what I'm explaining to you about those satellite cameras?
Yeah.
The ability to zoom in from such distances, so far up in the sky, basically in space.
Yeah.
Whether it's low Earth orbit, which is the internet discussion that I wrote about the article about, whether it's medium Earth orbit, which is slightly further away, and whether it's the large Earth orbit, which is way hanging out there in space, so far away from Earth. At every level, the camera is specifically fitted for its purpose. But if it's low Earth, and we're talking about what? It's 50 kilometers in a straight line, then you're in space from the surface of the Earth. 50 kilometers in a straight line, you get to your low Earth orbit, which is just outside Earth's particular atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it 80 kilometers, basically. 80 kilometers up in a straight line, then you get low Earth orbit. Medium Earth orbit is like at 150, 100, almost 200 kilometers away from us in a straight line. At every level, the camera, Hamoud, is specifically meant for that satellite's needs, right? So if you're a low Earth orbit, you know that you need to monitor a particular part of the Earth's surface. How can I call it? It's almost like 24-hour surveillance. If you are medium Earth, you can still achieve the same goal. But if you are large Earth orbit, meaning there, hanging out there, almost 500 kilometers away from us, which is basically almost, you're almost in Kiatmanshoop. If you're that far away, right, you can have a camera, but the downside is there will be blind spots. The moment the Earth rotates on its axis and that satellite is hanging there in the furthest. Let me call it, let me stick to large Earth orbit. Hanging in large Earth orbit, you will have to wait for another 12 hours until you are able to see that side of the Earth again tomorrow. Whereas with low Earth and with medium Earth, you've got a lot more smaller satellites basically covering the same, as it's turning,
mm-hmm.
you can continue the surveillance like this.
Yeah.
But that's primarily why the low Earth orbit and the medium Earth orbit internet service provision looks a lot more attractive because of what Starlink did.
Yeah.
But the Europeans were already there. Eutelsat, this was the other brand. The Europeans were already there. Which also is a question we need to ask in terms of, so as Namibia, are we saying that we also can't potentially do the same thing? Besides the astrotourism that I mentioned, and astrotourism is just looking up at the sky, basically.
You know, one of the biggest problems that we are going to start facing?
What?
Pollution.
And insurance, because on whose country is that satellite falling?
Space junk is, space junk has always been a problem. And with every country, our paranoia and trust issues with each other, every country will now start making plans. And this is what's going on. Every country is investing in its own satellite. And the country doesn't just launch one satellite. It launches several. Some of them for commercial, for commercial use. Some of them for military purposes. And some of them, I think, they just use them for intelligence to spy on each other. And
which they do.
And what that means is, think about 190 something countries that are just UN member nations, and each and every one of them has several satellites basically for different purposes. The thing is, space is going to be cluttered by debris, and we're already talking about space debris right now is a major concern with NASA, and NASA has pointed that out several times. And launching a satellite is expensive, and decommissioning them in a sense that you have to, decommissioning them, it's also equally expensive. There are two ways that satellites are decommissioned every time that take, for example, they are, they're out of service.
Mm.
Yeah. It's either they just leave it to float around to float around in space, which a lot of them do, unfortunately, which is why we have a space junk problem.
Yeah.
But I think one of the most effective way, the best solution, which also speaks into pollution, is steer it into lower Earth orbit so that it can be captured by gravity, because it's not going to reach the planet. A lot of them bends in re-entry.
Yeah.
There are only two that I think that collided. I think was that in the early 2000s. One was Russian. There was a Cosmos and Iridium 33. Yeah. One was a Cosmos. I'm not sure if it was a Cosmos was the Russian one, or Iridium 33 was the American one.
Mm.
But it was pointed, I think that was in 2007. It was pointed out that the American one was for a communication satellite, and the Russian one was a military satellite. I'm like, looking at the countries that are talking, I'm like, chances are very high these guys are talking about their spy satellite that collided. They're not going to tell us that. But the thing is, those are the only, that's the only
and,
story.
And they'll describe them as
communication.
And weather observations.
Yes, just for weather. Is this just for agriculture? Nah, lie. No.
Absolute donkey manure that they're telling us. But yeah, we'll...
Yeah. No, the thing is, that's the only story that I've read of a satellite, and this is not just an entire satellite that fell.
Mm.
This just the pieces were, because the whole thing bent in re-entry after the collision, and it's just the debris coming out of that collision, and what remained of what bent in re-entry is what reached the ground.
Yeah.
But the more we just lit up space, which is exactly going to happen, because you have a lot of countries that are just launching up their own satellites because they don't trust the technology of other countries, especially the big ones. Because they will be, you know, they are your friends today. You are using their technology. Everything is fine. The next day, they will try to bully you into doing something. When you say no, they will just, they will switch off the technology, and now you cannot navigate your ship or your plane or your PE. You can't, you know, you can't use your their technology to target them, obviously, if you are at war with them.
Yeah, which is a definite inconvenience.
Yeah. So now, because of that paranoia and the need to, weird enough, for us to protect ourselves from us, and we're just the dumbest living organism on the planet. And now, what you have is...
Well, it's because the other similar organisms, Helmut, they don't, well, that also includes us Africans, they don't show up here in good faith. That's what happened with colonialism. Yeah. They don't show up in good faith.
Just show up and like, you know what?
I'm here to say hi, guys, and just to take this rock, ne?
Yeah, don't worry, it's just a rock.
Why are you taking the rock? Oh, no, I know that it's valuable, don't worry. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, in 2020, this is from 2023. NASA will explain I couldn't believe I was reading this from NASA. They start off with basically a poem, and then they just go on to explain what is space debris after a poem from NASA. I expected that from a bunch of English literature, but science.
A poem.
Yeah.
They wrote a poem.
The universe is infinite, but space has its limit. Rockets, seriously? Anyway, International Space Station, ISS, orbital debris collision avoidance process. You know, and this is from 2023. One may ask, what is orbital debris? Although we don't see space junk in the sky beyond the clouds and further than the eye can see, it enters a low Earth orbit, or LEO. Mm. LEO is an orbital space junkyard. There are millions of pieces of space.
LEO, low Earth orbit.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 they are right, because it's the cheapest satellite to launch.
Oh.
It's like launching an intercontinental ballistic missile, but it's like a small version, and you just shoot it straight up. And then the thing just hangs there, and then the rocket and the debris of the rocket and everything is just hanging.
Oh, because of the stage separation.
Yeah.
So
and then
some of the separation takes place in the low Earth orbit, so they are not captured by gravity too. Oh boy.
No, they are captured by gravity, but the gravity keeps them there in suspense.
So it's not strong enough to pull them downwards to be burned by the atmosphere.
Yeah. Well, it's not about strong pulling. Remember when the others re-enter the Earth's atmosphere, it's as the rotation comes all more closer and closer to the atmosphere. And the moment they touch the atmosphere, that's when they get pulled
up. Yeah.
So it's and it's also how many of those satellites were just disconnected and you just leave them there.
Because it's expensive to just push them into space so they can float into...
But there's no rocket on the thing. So... If I send up a new rocket that has to...
And it's in low Earth orbit, you don't have any stages or any fuel to push it further after you are done using it.
And it's an unmanned launch expedition.
Yeah.
If I'm sending up a new satellite with this unmanned rocket, this satellite will replace the functions that the previous satellite had. So they will disconnect that satellite, launch the satellite, and oops, there you go.
Just leave it.
And the other one is just hanging there. It's like shooting bullets into jelly.
So the issue that you have here is we're already talking about pollution here.
Yeah.
First of all, technology is developing really fast. So the more the software or the digital version of the technology advances, the hardware has to be amped up to keep up with the software demands. What that means is, you know, 10-50, you know, 10-20 years, just make it 10-20 years from now, we're going to start have, and because we already have this problem, but I believe it's about, you know, I believe it's going to get worse of, you know, electronic waste. And we already talked about that. Yeah. Electronic waste with data centers, especially AI data centers, just demanding not just the technology that is required to build the hardware, but also the water that is needed to, to run the, to run the whole thing and the, and the energy. So all these things is going to require a constant upgrade of not just the technology itself, but the water system requirement and the energy system requirement. And all these things are tied into what? Well, technology. So you now have to constantly update and get rid of the old one to replace it with the new one. So, well, here on Earth, maybe you can recycle it. From the look of things, if it's just something that's floating in space, what do? You just leave it there and then build another one and then launch and build another one and then launch. By the end of...
Every time.
Yeah. By the, you know, by 2050... By 2050, we already have some serious issues. And the, it's not that we don't have this, the issues now. We already have the issues now. They are only going to get worse. And the next thing you know, we're talking about, and look, unlike, it's not like you can say carbon credit in the, well, in space. Where's the oxygen going to come from? There are no plants there. Now, anyway, one more line here. The low Earth orbit, NASA on space junk, as I say, the low Earth orbit is an orbital space junkyard. There are millions of pieces of space junk flying in low Earth orbit. Most orbital debris comprises of human generated objects such as pieces of spacecraft, tiny flankets of flankets of paint from a spacecraft, parts of a rocket, satellite that is no longer working, or explosions of objects in orbit flying around in flying around in space at high speed. So, okay, most space junk is moving very fast and can reach the speed of 18,000 miles an hour.
Yes, it's pretty fast.
That's not even a bullet.
No, it's faster than a bullet. How much?
Yeah.
Because that thing is busy doing this the whole time.
Yeah.
And that's why when I explained the surveillance slash observation slash communication benefit of these low Earth satellites is they can provide greater coverage of let's say, internet coverage or internet access or satellite internet access, by the way, or observation access. For example, if you're trying to monitor something on Earth's surface from a satellite, it allows for all that particular uses and benefits. The downside is you will need not just one.
You'll need a whole lot of them.
Yeah, so that the signal continuously bounces to the next one.
So you're basically creating a signal panoramic view.
Yes, of how quickly they are basically floating around Earth.
Yeah.
Because in the minds of many people suspect that space is like you are just hanging there stationary. But there's technically a speed that you're moving at.
And the Earth itself is rotating.
Yeah. And since the basic physicist's explanation of are we just hanging, the answer that they give you is that we are technically falling. It's just you don't see us falling. There's no falling.
Yeah, we're basically tagging along. You know, the sun is ahead.
Yeah.
And it's just dragging all of us along.
But our system is technically falling.
Falling or just flying along the flying along the the disc shape part of the Milky Way galaxy.
Yeah, it's falling technically.
Well, falling is relative. Well, there's falling because you're on Earth,
and that's the thing that confuses
falling to where?
Because you would ask, okay, how do we see the falling action?
Yeah,
And
so yeah, you're right. When you look at it from when you look at falling as being pulled by gravity,
yeah,
and we definitely are falling.
Yeah, but since it's a Big Bang discussion, eh? And the discussion is like, for example, like they said, imagine the Big Bang was like a couple of seconds ago.
Mm.
That's most of the theory that is saying it was technically a couple of seconds ago, but in reality, in human years, it has been this
like a million years.
How many million years that has technically taken place? That's most why they're also saying this, why the planets are also moving further away from each other,
yeah,
or technically away from the sun. That's why they're also saying the physicists are also explaining that technically the sun is going to die, but that'll be a couple of billion years from now. So
unless you're a vampire, you have nothing to worry about.
Exactly. But I don't think I have not heard of a vampire in any vampire literature, Helmut, that has lived 4 million years even.
Oh,
possibly for a couple of hundred.
Right. A couple of hundred. Yeah, someone asked on social media that why is that in every movie vampires are lauded?
Because they lived long enough.
Exactly. Like, if you are over 100 years and you are still broke, you are 500 years and broke.
And people will really tell you then, okay, my bro, go stand in the sun, please. Just.
Oh, here is some garlic, please.
Just go stand in the sun. Or go to church for one day.
Because this is not working.
Or they will tell you, go and bath in holy water. Please, just.
And Hollywood did a number on us.
But in all honesty, if there was a vampire that was broke after just 500 years. Just go stand in the sun, please. You are a waste of space. Just go stand there.
Okay. Now look. A part of what I also found interesting in the audios that you share with regards to that engagement was one lady asked a question that we've been asking with regards to these engagements. What's your reach? How many people, with regards to how many people are you reaching with the information that you would like to share? Because the idea behind, this type of engagements is to make people aware of what's going on in the country, and when you are sharing this information, how many people are you reaching? How many people are being aware of what it is that you want them to know? This is the same, question that we also asked in relation to the nuclear bill.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think the reach is just one part, one part of this much broader concern. And the second concern after the reach is the language. Look, space science and nuclear bill, this bill, the space science bill and the nuclear bill, these topics are very, they are heavily science. And because of that, we are going to have to either up our English and start breaking these things down in native languages.
Yeah.
Yeah. One academic in Zimbabwe, spoke, I believe, to Africa News a few weeks ago. And he was explained, and he observed that a lot of Africans, especially those ones that are growing up in diaspora, especially the youth, they are taking classes, online classes, of their mother tongues. And there was one girl that was also featured in the interview. She's Zimbabwean, but she's in Canada. Now she's taking Shona lessons online.
Mm.
Yeah, because growing up in that environment, you can forget about your mother language. But she basically just wanted to learn her, the language of one or both of her parents. And I actually worked with one, that lady is, one interesting story. She's Zimbabwean.
Mm.
She was born and raised in Canada.
Mm.
She married a Namibian.
Mm.
Now she has one heck of a triangle to travel.
Mm.
Because she was born in Canada, it's very easy for her to travel to and from the country.
Mm.
But for the husband now that is Namibian, he has to jump through hoops of connecting flights.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, okay, she speaks English with a Canadian accent. And, like, can you just try some Shona?
I don't know, why are you guys trying to grill fellow Africans? Why are you Namibians like that, Hamo?
No, it's not.
Why are you Namibians like that? You see, it's those funny things.
Oh, no, look, it gets worse. She's a comedian, so that's why I was having a time of my life.
Why do you guys like doing this? Poking people in the eye.
I know, right? I'm like, so let me get this straight. You, you are of Zimbabwean descent. And you were born and raised in Canada.
Yeah.
And you married a Namibian. My God, this is one heck of a triangle.
And the Namibian, the husband has to, what did you say, has to jump through hoops just to get...
Connecting flights to get to Canada.
Eish, ne? Life is not easy for us.
But he's one tough guy because he has a business both in Canada and in Namibia.
Okay. Yeah.
Have a super September with super savings at WB. Like 500 gram 7 a.m. cornflakes for only $29.99. A 2-liter Coca-Cola for a sweet $21.99. 4 kg Cadilla mixed chicken for only $189.99. And 1 kg sunlight hand water for just $32.99. See more super September savings at vurmanbrock.com. We care. Vurmanbrock.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The eye.
Now it's my turn to make me famous. Welcome back. We are 2 minutes into the hour of six, and you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, and we're looking at this space science bill. We want to have our own space agency with a very, 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 very fast, very secure and fast internet. That's one thing I like about NASA. They have the fastest internet I know. I said the fastest internet I know, so give me a break. So what are the powers being given by this bill? Well, in the performance of its functions, the agency that will be instituted by this bill of it's like a science club, but for adults, will be in the performance of its functions, the agency must have power to authorize and supervise space activities carried out from the Namibian territory and those carried out elsewhere by Namibian entities. And to establish advisory space committee from time to time to assist in any specified duties in carrying out its functions. Jesus. Look, I think we should...
Redefine the priorities, yes.
Yeah, we should just, look, I'm beginning to feel like we're jumping the broom here.
No, I actually believe it's a good time to be starting this, Helmut, because in future, let's say in the next 5 years, up to 2013, because of the way things are going, like I just told you now a little bit, the geopolitical situation is going to get a little bit more horrendous.
Yeah.
We still have 3 more years of dealing with Donald Trump and his nonsense. Look, I don't care what Donald Trump is doing to his own country.
Yeah.
But it's the antics of him and his administration towards the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Because technically what the rest of the world is seeing is that the US is antagonistic towards the rest of the world. So, where the rest of the world is busy talking at the UN level about the peaceful use of space.
Yeah.
The US decided to take themselves out of much of these treaties. So I'm going to ask you, a guy who's not going to be playing ball, who knows he's very strong, who knows he's powerful, and you as Africa now trying to, as an African country now trying to participate in this, in the realm of space, you're now being told, listen, it's either you buy our technology or not, or we start shooting you from space. So gunboat diplomacy can even show up
get to space really fast
as gun satellite diplomacy as well.
Yeah.
So and the reality is very obvious that the Americans can do this. They are currently right now they are very
rogue.
You're right. Yes, rogue. Thank you, Helmut. They are acting like a rogue country.
Yeah.
Because in the world of diplomacy, everyone would have thought that, you know what, Donald Trump might come with fresh ideas, not with bully tactics to the global arena, trying to bully everybody smaller than him. And the best way is bribing him as a country. I don't know what number we are bribing the American government.
No.
To get the no,
it's, well, for it's, one, we don't have the money, and frankly, it's just a lot of garbage.
Yeah.
I think what's going. Look, the thing is, I've watched and I continue to watch from time to time what Donald Trump was saying when he was running for office. He was a very rational person.
Mm.
Yeah, he was like, you know, we went into Iraq. They said there were weapons of mass destruction. There were none. He was a very rational person. And then he wins office and then he all of a sudden become, demented. No. I think what's going on there is what is called weaponized incompetence.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, being done to you call it intentionally. The thing is, when it comes to, especially to countries of that size, especially the US, I know that their private sector, has more power than your regular regular politician in Congress, because they have, they are the ones with a lot of money that backs up all the super PACs that fund political party individual campaigns.
Mm.
So if you are not in line with private sector interest, chances are very high you are not going to find yourself in office for a very long time. So you have to play ball. Yeah, and because of that, I think wherever the Western private interest is, that's where you will see. Unfortunately, now this is where I believe the military is more often just used as a bunch of armed, hired guns to go and protect, private interest, dressed up under the cloak of democracy, human rights, and and all that. Nonsense to basically make it sound like morally right, but they're just there to protect their private interest.
Mm.
And taxpayers are more often just the people that are more often at the receiving end of this economic stick, because it's taxpayers' money that is basically subsidizes the military, basically, because the money is taken and then it's given to a bunch of private contractors who then supply the military with the hardware. It's money laundering 101. But in the name of human rights, no. Who are you kidding? The good thing is I'm at that age now where every time someone say that, I just look at them and go like, right. Okay, now what's for dinner? Now, I just don't have time for
that. What's for dinner?
Yeah.
Well, it's also a thing now, Hamoud, that is making me slightly a little bit apprehensive if we now look into the future of where we as Namibia want to go. Because remember, there's a whole bunch of other African countries that would definitely also then start developing the same thing. I know South Africa has also a dedicated space science program because they do have their own satellites as South Africa. The concern is just the other African countries that are now would now want to participate in the same thing, what would they also then probably be staring at? My concern is we've got China and the EU who are willing to help us.
Yeah.
They're willing to play, you know, like a guiding role. And the nice thing is in the broader confusion of global diplomacy as it's currently, you know, taking shape, or it has already taken shape, at least you can sit with the reassurance that the EU and China don't have animosity between each other.
Yeah.
They are taking.
I mean, it is there, but it's not as bad. It's more economic for them.
Yeah, but it's more about the maneuverings that have to take in place, because you see that they technically are talking to each other a lot more in a lot more positive realm than, for example, the discussion of what we are continuously seeing becoming a lot more apparent is that there are forces in the US basically pushing the US.
Yeah.
To literally become the bad guy against China.
Basically to paint China as the, you know, the evil guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and was that in 2024 when they approved a $1.something billion budget in Congress to counter China, to counter Chinese influence?
Mm.
The good thing is, the good thing at least for me is every time I read about this, I just keep going back to how the British behavior towards America when the US was on the rise.
Mm.
The parallelism is, it's fascinating.
It's literally copy and paste.
Yeah, it's just copy and paste.
You can call it copy and paste, but no one copy and paste it. It's just you see history repeating itself.
Yeah, because it turns out no one learned.
Yeah, that's the ugly thing. And every time, and that's some of the funny things. You don't even need to go even to the academics themselves. Okay, firstly, I realize that we've got a handful of the academics.
Yeah.
In some cases, like what I experienced with the one particular talking point, that I think it's not that week that you were off. I think it was another week. But what I discovered is, even though I know the background information already, so I wanted to get this guy talking on the radar, I supplied him with a whole bunch of discussions, and I even told him, okay, for reference, this is some of the details, where some of this comes from.
Yeah.
The concern is, you can even see that it's not at the forefront of everybody's minds every day, like what the conversation points you and I are having that are at the forefront, but it's also that what many people forget is that you and I, we also prepare for our discussions. I mean, you had to listen to the original audios that I recorded, as well as also read some of the literature. I wrote the article that was in the e-paper, so I already knew about the audios, so I already knew about the background. I participated in the particular public engagement. So, you know, there was a lot of preparation that went into this.
Yeah.
The concern is, you can sometimes see how some Namibians are outside of the realm of certain discussions and certain talking points. Yes, obviously, as the Eagle FM and as the Home Run, we try to bring these conversations closer to people.
Yeah.
But in many cases, it's like the discussion that Anacleta bumped into there with the nuclear bill, where the people on the street asked Anacleta, because this thing will do what to my life? You're like,
look, that's a very relevant question. Our politicians ask that to our investors all the time. What's in it for me? An iPhone with two SIM cards, of course. That's the best example I've ever come up with.
On the record so far, there was only one. individual who said that.
There's only one we know of.
Okay, yeah, that we know of. Yes, yes. The correct term, that we know of.
There's only one that we know of. Now, we are 13 minutes into the hour of six. This is the last hour, so I just wanna go through some parts of part two, if you don't mind. So, Namibia Space Agency functions of the agency. The functions of the agency are coordinate and regulate space related activities in the country.
Mm.
And implement the Namibian space policy, Namibian space strategy, national space program, and any related programs. Advise the government on development of relevant legislations to facilitate successful implementation of Namibian space programs. Advise the government on legislative and the measures necessary for the implementation of relevant conventions, treaties, agreements, and agreements that Namibia is a party to.
Yeah.
So, it's legislative wise, obviously, and also implementation wise, it has jurisdiction issues, it's international in scope, literally.
Mm.
To develop and recommend the government's national space policies, strategies, and programs, promote capacity building in space science and technology and its applications, plural.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, its use. And establish a space center. Right. Look, the thing is, when I'm reading all this list, I'm just seeing money, 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 and I'm asking myself, all right, where's it coming from?
Why are you?
And
worried?
Don't say GIZ, because at this point,
it might be. Not that I can prove it. But I can basically say yes already, Helmut.
With
the historical evidence on the ground. You know, it's right there, guys. What, and in all of this, ne?
Yeah.
Do you know who's actually already working closely with our centers of research, science, and innovation?
Yeah.
Just guess, Helmut.
Minister of Education?
No. Who's already working close to them? With regards to the hardware that's already here, there are two countries.
China and the US.
Not the US.
No.
The US has no presence in Namibia.
No wonder the ambassador attended. Okay.
No, not the ambassador. Yeah. It was a guy from a department.
Oh,
you heard the department's name. It's a specific department.
Mm-hmm.
So it's China and the EU. Because remember, there's already the HES project.
Hmm.
Then online is going to be the next thing on that's going to come online is the Radboud observation telescopes.
Hmm.
So that's number two from the EU. China already has the observation station at the coast, which helps with Chinese astronauts to re-enter the surface in the atmosphere when from the International Space Station. Now here's the thing: Namibia is the only country that can help them with that navigation. That's how key we are in our terms of our geographic position on the planet.
Yeah.
And secondly, the second observation station that's right here outside, on the other side of Heroes Acre, is the one that technically helps with further particular scientific observation.
Yeah.
So, in terms of the historical evidence, I can already see that these two particular developmental partners of Namibia, they will just continue.
So they will. They're gonna come with the money and the technology.
I suspect that it'll be more the investment, not just money. It'll be more the investment. Yeah, because you will start seeing them. I think. UNAM has already sent some of their advanced students to Europe specifically for further. Besides the green hydrogen guys, And besides the besides the green hydrogen guys, there is already, because that MOU was signed in 2023, and that MOU was about upskilling some of the students also in Namibia already. So you will just see the department advancing, these science departments, these space science departments. You'll just see them advancing because it'll just make sense that these scientists that we are training as Namibians, that they get deployed in Ministry of Education, in Ministry of defense.
I think we are leaving out one.
Who? Oh, Russia. Ruskis.
Mother Russia.
Well, they're not our mother, Mos. We are Mos. We are Zimbabwe, you know.
Yeah.
We are Namibistan, Helmut. You've got to recognize we are our own peoples.
Excel, you're Uzbekistan.
Why do you keep referencing that sentence of all sentences, Helmut? Excel, you're Uzbekistan.
That's one long name.
And then they'll even ask you, what does it mean? Oh, no, don't worry.
Please keep your distance.
It means just walk over there. Very far away.
Hey, yeah, don't stay within Okapi range.
Yeah. What is an Okapi? Oh, no, you don't want to know.
No, you don't want to know. You do not want to know.
It's a useful utensil for fear and intimidation.
Yeah. Okay, so because of our strategic location, now we have I'm looking at three sources of intellectual property in terms of technology here, both hard and soft. So we have China has its own, it's gonna have its own money and definitely the technology, both hard and soft. But the EU, most of that is most likely going to come from American technology.
Mm-mm. What? No, Helmut, have you never heard of CERN?
CERN, the Large Hadron Collider, yeah. No.
Yeah. Do you know what that Large Hadron Collider is used for?
To investigate the Big Bang theory?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And you know what they keep realizing from that thing, the research? That you know what's the scariest thing I've seen? Is that they've created realities.
Huh?
Yes, I'm confused as you until this day. I'm so confused about that thing.
I think the scientists are just high on something. They are so high. They are seeing things.
No. But the concerning thing is that it's another scientist who, she was going to become one of the few women that would have worked with that team of scientists at CERN.
Yeah.
There was apparently a famous interview of two of the more prominent scientists that were working at the CERN project, because it was based in Switzerland, in the Swiss Alps. For the listeners who don't know about CERN, it's basically a research facility that is
running over 20 kilometers in diameter.
Close to 20 kilometers in diameter, meaning
it's basically one giant circle,
but it's below the ground.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know,
loaded with magnets.
The thing is below the ground. However, this particular research facility, and as you can obviously see, they're trying to research the Big Bang theory. That's their aim. Just the origins of the universe. That's what they are researching. The one lady who was appointed there also as a fellow researcher and scientist. She realized that these guys were working on scary stuff. Scary stuff in the scenario, Helmut, that they accidentally discovered realities. Now, I'm here.
I'm still going to go with vodka on that one.
So, yes, vodka, wine, brandy and coke, you can mix up everything just to digest what I just read. And I also saw in a YouTube video of a guy who basically was presenting this topic. The downside is, Nehamud, is that the theory that the guy suggested, that supposedly suggested from this multiple realities theory, which only apparently the scientists who work at this facility know of, is a scary theory to release out into the world. Because it's a theory basically that goes against the whole fabric of you understanding time.
That's one thing I like about Africa.
You see the sun come up, you see the sun go down.
No, when something like that happens, we just go with witchcraft. Investigate, witchcraft. Yep, moving on. We don't waste time here.
Yeah, you say we reach conclusions.
Like really fast.
If my brain doesn't capture it, you know what? Let's just stop that witchcraft.
Motherland, so proud. Now, one player that we seem to be missing out. I knew that we are a smoking hot slay queen investment-wise, especially in the extractive industry. But I didn't know that it's also happening in space race.
Yes, it is. It is.
Yeah,
it is.
Because you have Chinese interest on the in the country in terms of this whole Namibia space program. You have the EU interest. And you have the Americans, you have the American interest very sooner or later. You're going to have that also gaining momentum. And you have also seem to have, Russian presence in the, showing interest in the same thing.
Mm.
Yeah. Two weeks ago, it was made, now the this article is from two weeks ago. It's coming from the national broadcast. Namibia and Russia are moving towards the launch of a joint space program with plans that could include building and launching a satellite, training Namibian engineers and introducing space related university programs.
Mm.
Guys, come on, there are only 3 million of us. But anyway, the initiative is being developed with Russia's space technology company Sputnik. It has
you,
an X.
You know, Helmut, that the U is a U.
Yes, it's Sputnik, which literally means satellite. Further details are expected to be announced in Moscow next month.
Yeah. It's fun times, Helmut. It's fun times.
Fun times. This is an excellent time to be a country with a vegetation that's sandwiched in between two deserts.
Now we also know what it feels like, when all the guys are looking at you.
Uh-huh. And right now, investment-wise, both in agriculture, technology, that's yes us.
And the thing is, Namibia is not even a slay queen. That's the worst part. It's not like we dress up and we look something completely different.
No, we're just here minding our own business. That's how on demand we are.
We were just walking down the street, just greeting everybody, saying, hi guys, how you doing?
But jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, that topic is a little bit uncomfortable, but yeah. But yeah, so it's not just going to end there, Helmut. You obviously do know why. It's their soft diplomacy that's going to work.
It's definitely. This is more than just science. I know that part.
Yeah, their soft diplomacy is going to work because they also realize that the Southern Hemisphere... let me tell you about the France's foreign minister after the Africa, the global map situation happened. So France's
the voting at the UN.
Yeah. So France's foreign minister went and had a public engagement in France, in Paris,
mm-hmm.
where he basically motivated this discussion. But the lingo, his words, was a bit weird because he said the Mercator projection.
Yeah.
Technically made the world into two halves. And firstly, I said they're going like,
two halves?
Yes. But we didn't see it that way. We saw projection being importance, non-importance. Yeah. Yes, you can still see the two-half theory. Yeah. And then the second half of his response was, with this new UN-approved projection of the world map,
mm-hmm.
In terms of its right proportions and mm-hmm. measurements, we now see a global order. I'm like, oh, you guys are also now entering the soft diplomacy bracket.
Yep.
From that dimension. So, because he was standing in front of an amphitheater, doing this particular public
conference.
And then I realized, okay, so France is now going to change their tact in terms of how to deal with or how to engage with the global south. Remember, because even the UN recognizes the label Global South.
Yeah.
And even the UN, remember from that report that we cited last year, the one of Guterres' report that said, it's best for the Global South to learn from fellow Global South countries.
Yeah, the South Cooperation.
Yeah, the South-to-South Cooperation. And the best examples. Who were the three best examples, Helmut? The four best examples. Russia, India, China, and South Africa.
No.
And Brazil. Yes, five. And Brazil. So the whole BRICS, technically, because India also has a space agency.
Yeah.
So you will later on also start seeing India approaching Namibia. Brazil, I know, also has a space program. You later on seeing Brazil also approaching Namibia. I don't know for what reason. Because South Africa's space program didn't approach us. But here's the fascinating thing about South Africa. Do you know that South Africa is the only Southern Hemisphere country besides Argentina? Well, I don't consider Argentina as a major particular powerhouse in the Southern Hemisphere. But South Africa and Australia and New Zealand and Argentina, and I think Chile, are the only Southern Hemisphere countries that have research stations on the South Pole.
Yeah.
And the rest of the global north, of the developed economies.
Yeah.
Look how, do you see how geopolitics is ugly, Hamoud? How do you have stakes, claims
in the South when you're in the South
Pole?
Yeah.
In a pole of the world where you don't have, your country is not from. I could understand the whole of the global north competing for
The North Pole. Yeah.
And for not for Greenland, and for the North Pole, right?
Yeah.
But I don't understand how they have stakes on the South Pole. They all have research stations there.
Yeah.
They all have specific particular programs that they are running there in terms of research. And you can basically count just one African country there. Namibia is supposed to also have a team on the South Pole, because our weather is influenced by the South Pole.
Mm-hmm.
Us, Botswana, Zimbabwe, Lesotho, Eswatini, we can't just rely on the South Africans. Now, if you throw such a curveball in this discussion,
mm-hmm.
if you throw such a curveball, would it not have been possibly cheaper to also be investing in a South Pole and Antarctic research dimension for Namibia on the Arctic, on the South Pole itself?
You know, one thing I can't wrap my mind around is, what are they observing? I mean, it's just one giant block of ice.
No, it's a continent. It's land.
Yeah.
No, the one that's just ice is the North Pole. The North Pole is just ice.
The North Pole, not the North Pole itself, but thanks to global warming, there's a maritime channel that's opening up northern parts of Russia. That's one channel that is basically it's short, especially if you are moving cargo from China, to Europe. But it's one of those channels that is also where China is, where Russia is, has an upper hand because of their, strategic location.
Yeah.
There've been suspicions over that could be one of the reasons why the Americans have, they've taken a significant interest in Greenland all of a sudden. Because, that channel also, is it the northern what? The Arctic something. No.
It's the one that Korea sailed through last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. It's the North Shipping Passage. What? Something passage.
The problem here is, you have, you have to understand that during winter, it's going to be, it's going to be tricky to use. So the straits like your Strait of Hormuz or the Bab al-Mandeb Strait, the side of Eritrea and Yemen on the other side, is still going to play a significant role in terms of international trade. And you have, of course, the Suez Canal on the side of Egypt. On the time, especially when it's their summer and that route can easily be used, then that strait is going the Suez Canal is about to have some serious summer competition, especially when there's summer in the northern hemisphere, and ships or cargo ships can take that shortcut, because it is a shortcut in comparison to navigating through the Indian Ocean into the above Almanda Strait and then exiting the Suez Canal into the Atlantic Ocean. That's a whole geopolitical debate, and more like a sphere of influence in terms of you know, trade routes, which is taking place in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
And that's just the. And that's not the first time these things are taking place. Like, countries have always kicked the heck out of each other over, you know, passage waters. Why is okay? Why would I think? Take for example, why would I think that Namibia is should you know, just invest into the space discussion over the South Pole? For me,
no, we can do both.
We don't have the money, and
no, we can do both.
Hmm?
That's it. Brian, have you never heard of hitching a ride with South Africans? They have their own research ship.
Look, the Germans only have enough money for... Like, I swear, I don't think I've seen a project on the African continent that doesn't not have a JZ logo on it.
Or a US logo.
Yeah. Or EU.
Or a US politics, or a US politics, or a US politically induced... discourse around it for some reason that influences it.
Yeah.
Just for you to end up at a constitutional court to be...
I'm going
to
give you money, but... Oh, yeah, that proposal. You know, let's just observe your agriculture for you. The constitutional court was like, what agriculture? We know agriculture is code name for something.
What do you want to see? Explain yourself.
Mm-hmm. What? Yeah. Well, I think they almost pulled the LG on us. Like LGTV and the controversy that they are now facing. But, look, your phone already does that. The spying on you thing for targeted advertising, your phone already does that. And if you have, let me just say, anything smart that you have, and actually, you know, someone pointed out that the reason why... the NASA satellite that is supposedly searching for intelligent life, the reason why it's pointed upwards is because there is no intelligence down here.
Mm.
They're just looking for intelligence somewhere else, because all we have here is Donald Trump. That's the only example I had.
That's the only example I'm
looking at. Two more.
Huh?
Not two more examples, just a few more points. What is what are these guys going to do? The space, the Namibia Space Agency guys. Ensure the observation of rules and norms of responsible behavior in the use of outer space. Ensure? We can't even ensure our fish is safe, so I have a problem with that one.
Yes.
So you have... ensure the observation of rules and norms of responsible behavior in the use of outer space to enable safety, stability, security, and long-term sustainability of space activities. Oversee safe, stable, secure, sustainable, and responsible utilization. And now we're just stretching it here. Utilization of resources, our resources, excellent idea. And authorize, license, and continually supervise space. Space activities. I hope our space is not going to be split in, you know, in commercial and communal. Because we already did that to the land.
Airspace.
There's communal air where everyone can breathe. The other one is private.
I did hear of something ridiculous like that.
Hang on a second.
Selling air. It was also an American company.
Are you sure you didn't watch The Lorax?
No.
Yeah.
It was an American company trying to sell air.
Of course, it's going to be an American company.
Air, which you breathe naturally outside, naturally indoors.
Who came up with that idea?
I shall hold my peace, because capitalism, I first have to research.
Three more. Promote and support acquisition of effective management and utilization of space-driven data. Now we're talking. This is you remember the proposal that these guys with an Embassy Promax here said they are going to...
Embassy Promax.
Look, the Embassy is the biggest, so I'm going to call it plus Apple is an American company. So they just goes along the Embassy Promax about... satellite observation for agriculture and weather monitoring, you know, purposes.
Yeah.
that speaks a lot into the utilization, the information that's gathered. Where is it going and how it's being used? I think that's one of those questions that that will have a lot of difficult answers to provide, for especially for the public sector, if they gave them a green light. And that brings us to the audios that you just shared on this discussion, especially on this on the data that is gathered. One question that was asked was that who has access to the data that's currently being gathered? I believe the response was right now, no one yet.
Mm.
Yeah. And one of the question that also kept popping up, I mean, you all had a very smart audience that kept asking was that, who is storing this data?
Mm.
Yeah, because if the information is being gathered about Namibia, where is it going? And I couldn't help but think, right, where is it going? Good question. We have data being piped out of our smartphones 24/7.
Mm.
Like, if we're that careful about, data, then we should really start being careful about our smartphones. Just on a consumer level.
Mm.
I think that would help a lot. But we only care about data when the government is involved. For some reason, all of a sudden, we care about our data. I mean, it's very ironic. I find it very ironic. It's the same thing that
But we give it away freely to a private company.
Yep. I mean, we download a bunch of apps by being yes machines. You just click yes so that you can use the app. That's one.
Or you put it in your toddler's hands and the toddler just goes and yes.
Yeah, yes, everything. And we don't have a problem with that. We are very irresponsible with our individual data. But when telecommunications companies says, okay, you know what? I want to register your SIM cards. All of a sudden, 666, I'm like, guys, come on. Okay, now we want to put a chip in your ID. Hey,
Bob's giving a jump. It's satanic. It's everything against my rights.
Our information is it's not secure. Your password is 12345, and you're saying your information.
You give your phone to your 5 year old. Do you think that's secure? Do you think that's security even?
Like, look, our individual security is terrible.
Yes.
But we are the ones smart enough to bring up the data security discussion. Look, it's a brilliant discussion to have on a national level because data privacy is a genuine concern.
Yes.
But when you look at the verbosity we spew. What?
Did you just use someone else's word right now, Helmut?
Yeah. Former...
Because no one else uses that word, even after 2019.
Well, that's because he was right. People are intimidated by his verbosity. Ale? Intimidated by his money, I would have agreed with that. But verbosity, aye. But look, the thing is, I like how we bring up the discussion around data privacy. Mm. It's a good idea to have on a national level, national security concern and personal privacy concern. Brilliant idea.
Mm.
But when you look at what we say in relations to data privacy on a national level and how very reckless we are with our personal data on our personal level, it's just, it's hypocritical.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, space derived data promote and support acquisition for effective management and utilization of space derived data, except we don't have data protection. And that's still in the pipeline. Don't worry, we're gonna get there. Hopefully with JZ money.
Mm.
And also to enter into mutually beneficial bilateral and multilateral agreements with persons, agencies, governments, or bodies in the furtherance of its mandate, aka space program. So to enter into mutually beneficial bilateral and multilateral, if you ask me, we are already in a multilateral not written agreement yet,
mm.
because we have the EU, we have, we have the Chinese, we are about to have a lot of other countries. Well, we have the Russians here. We're in September.
Yeah.
We are meeting in October to discuss more on how we can have what? Guess what? initiatives of the same program.
Yes.
So the power of being like the representative of the country to help the country enter into mutually beneficial bilateral multilateral agreements with the persons, agencies, and governments or bodies in furtherance of its mandate, which is just a space related mandate. I think on this one we are a little a lot of steps ahead. We just have to put everything in writing. Mm-hmm. We'll have a few contracts, one in English, one in Russian, and another one in Chinese. Now, identify and prepare, facilitate and implement implementation of invention and innovation in space technologies. That's the part now that makes me go like, Kabangos, Zambezians, and Dongas already figured that part out. So we already solved this part, the whole space technologies in terms of innovation and invention. All we just have to do is make the technology public. Yeah.
Help me again, Helmut. Which technology?
Witchcraft.
And I even asked.
Yeah, you had to. You just had to. Look.
I even asked, but okay.
It says here, invention and innovation. All we have to do is make it public and then patent it. The scientists are going to be a little old. Witchcraft is associated with age in Africa. That's really stupid. Commercial break.
Get to You Save today where every penny counts. 1 liter of U Brand Full Cream Long Life Milk for just $19.99. 2 kilograms of Nawa Super Omasi Cultured Milk for just $44.99. 500 mls of Predator Gold Energy Drink for $8.99 each. 200 mls of Brooks Esto Concentrated Drink, 2 for $30 Namibian. And 1 liter Creamy Dairy Blend, just $12.99. You Save, your low budget grocery store where good food costs less.
Need some help with the groceries this month? Then You Save has a competition that is just for you. Every Friday between 1 and 2 p.m., Eagle FM will be giving away a $500 You Save voucher. To stand a chance of winning the $500 You Save voucher, all you have to do is follow Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, X, and Instagram, and be on the lookout for the weekly competition question. You Save, where good food costs less.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Welcome back, and we continue. We have 13 minutes left to the end of Home Run, so I really have to actually just one more to promote awareness and appreciation. Namibians, listen, let's say so. To promote awareness and appreciation at all levels of Namibian society on the relevance and benefits of space science and technology. The relevance and benefits of space science and technology. Beyond witchcraft, that is.
And Helmut, you alone are on witchcraft there. The whole of Ohangwena has to come after you. The whole of the Tukavango's regions. The whole of France's people from Ksambizi. You are alone.
Don't worry, it will be a draw. We know each other.
It will be a draw. You alone, bruh. You alone will be looking for bodyguards at this gate of Eagle Heaven.
My wife is in Donga. She's going to kill me at home.
Look, the appreciation thing there.
Yeah.
I think this has to do with national pride.
Yeah, definitely.
It speaks to national pride or secondly.
You're going to make t-shirts like NASA has t-shirts and heads, yeah.
I was also there. I was also on the, but I was more, I was going to be more cynical. The one about getting cultural groups to come and dance every time and sing and dance every time that we unveil something under space science technology. And that's why I said I would have been more cynical.
Oh, man.
But yeah, minus the cynicism, I suspect it's the national pride dimension. But we're in 2026. It's a bit late for the national pride. I mean, national pride should have been there when we were still being, you know, administered as an extent, as an appendix of South Africa. Mm. You know, we were just the extras. So
it's kind of difficult to, you know, to celebrate your national pride when you had to, you know, you had to quickly run out of clean window when the time was running out.
You know, so yeah, it makes it a bit funny. Unless, like you asked a little bit earlier, where's the money going to come from for much of the developments being planned in that draft?
Yep.
In terms of what kinds of works will they do? What kind of work will they basically be engaged in? Will this, I mean, we're not one of the four foundational currencies of the global financial markets, Almut. So it's not like we will be printing money en masse. Or is this also based upon the potential that if the first oil barrel literally flows, we will have the ability of gee my asseblief meer, oure meer, or gere meer. From World Bank, basically I'm saying, please borrow me more money than usual. Would that be the case? Because that is the assertion that's part that was made at the start of this year. And I'm citing Sherborne's particular analysis on Minister Shafuta's budget unveiling. Because he mentioned that I could not see the correlation. But it is conversations and rumors taking place in the national discourse, because I keep asking the civil society guys, they're the ones closest to the realm of where government decisions are actually impacting people on the ground. Us journalists, I think we are becoming like extinct animals or exotic animals. You know, we're endangered species.
What?
We can't be everywhere.
Oh.
But then we say yes to be on a trip to Swakop to the green industries thing. And then you see how many journalists suddenly they are, but they don't show up to other particular events for that matter. That's
just
why.
Because there's science involved.
Well, not to knock.
Well, people are running out from myth, so.
Not
pardon
to
my assumption.
Not to knock fellow journalists, but the day I was asked 2 years ago, what is space science? And I said, look up. Just look up. Think about the space above your head.
Yeah.
Not the sky, the thing above the sky.
Hmm.
So, I mean, if it's difficult in the media space for journalists specifically to think about something without the human. Helmut, for you and me, it's easy to think about geography because you realize the human is but a small part of geography.
Yeah.
Because what I've realized, what's the other label they call for geography? Natural history. It's most natural history. Natural history speaks about the all those subjects that have to do with geography, geology, physics, all
like
those things.
The changing environment with time.
All those things. Yeah. Even the prehistoric versions of Earth.
Yeah.
It speaks about all those things.
Yeah.
So natural history is a vast subject. In its just in its constitution, and the human is but a small part of it,
very tiny.
But the moment you've got to deal with human history, our history, where us humans are impacting each other, it's an easy thing because you can see conflict, you can see the antagonists, the protagonists, meaning the good guy, the bad guy. You can see themes that you quickly apply, that you can quickly subscribe to, themes that you don't subscribe to, and The human-to-human impact is an easy story to tell because it's about us. And basically, if you go look at many scenarios of discourse in Namibia about national developments, people always go and look at the policy or how does it impact one person on the ground. I mean, you can't come and tell me about one person in one region without measuring all the other 13 regions as well, looking for someone similar, suffering from something similar in all 13 regions. Now imagine the expense bill that you would have to exhaust. You might know someone in every region, so that'll be phone calls or very long phone calls. But let's, for example, say you did not know everybody in every region. Now you have to try and find out, okay, what's the impact of El Nino on every person? And the report that you and I looked at, the one from that SADC forum, those guys basically said, listen, don't try and jump the gun there. Understand month by month, week by week, case scenarios and analyses for you to get a clear picture of what to expect, what is oncoming. I still rely for better part on the South African meteorological services. There's a few lovely ones on the internet, which gives you at least 2 hours of satellite, imagery. You can see it through the internet. Wonderful stuff. What I've now seen ever since last week, since I wrote that article, and since we had that conversation, there's been a lot of confusing discourse coming out. And at the heart of them, I think it's Ministry of Agriculture. They generated something else, which seems partly to be in line with that report. And who obviously generated the article? A journalist. And the discourse is a key thing. Now, here's the funny thing, Namun. Like I said, I was the only journalist at that Space Science and Technology event. And that specific event now has the potential of clarifying this scenario of confusion that I just now cited to you. But it has the potential to do even more.
Yeah.
For example, like I said, it'll help inform us literally about the natural history of Namibia even more.
And we have the oldest desert.
Do you know what is the fascinating thing when I flew to Zambia through South Africa? Now, South Africa is a word. If you ever think about the word rand, in rand, the word rand, not just currency.
Yeah.
If you look at just the word itself, the word rand in Afrikaans means like the edge of a basin. You know, it's technically a wall.
Yeah.
Rand, the word rand is wall. So,
like a barrier.
Barrier, yes. But you have to think of it like in when you're sitting with a bowl.
Yeah.
That is a rand, the edge of the bowl.
Yeah.
But when you're also looking at, like, for example, a geographic feature, that it creates a natural wall.
The edge.
Which is an edge,
yeah,
which is basically a ridge. Now, the word rand has, and like many so words in Afrikaans, in English, you find 5 English words slightly different between some of them that basically say the same word in Afrikaans. The concern, the thing that I saw in South Africa, looking out of the window in mid-air, I literally understood why South Africa has such prominence to that word rand. Because I literally saw geographic ridges, massive.
Like a mountain range.
No, not a mountain. It is a mountain range if you're standing on the ground.
Yeah.
To you, it's a mountain range in terms of where you are. If you're in the airplane where I was and you're looking out of the window, what you're seeing is this massive ridge spanning kilometers. Beautiful sight. But just imagine to yourself, if you were the person standing there on the ground,
you wouldn't see that.
You wouldn't see that. You would just be seeing a mountain.
Yeah.
Now, that is one of the few things that once again awakened sort of like my fascination in geography, because you now get to understand, okay, geography is a central part of everything in this world, why we as countries exist. It's because of geography that Namibia is exploring oil and gas. It's because of geography that Namibia is getting into green hydrogen. It's because of geography that Namibia is promoting its transportation corridor.
Yeah.
It's because of geography that Namibia is in a bit of a peril when it comes to rainy seasons every year.
It's the same reason we know about underground aquifers.
Yeah, it's the same. Geography is the reason specifically why you get certain kinds of languages in Namibia and in southern Africa.
Yeah.
It's because of geography that you understand why Namibia has a certain kind of a weather system. It's because of geography why you understand why Namibia is a sought-after mining destination. It's because of geography that Namibia has a certain kind of a fishing
destination.
Let's not say destination, because now you're making us sound exotic.
Oh, yeah.
There is exoticism, yeah. You know, even if it's like illegal fishing and underreported fishing taking place, it still is, you know, we are a sought-after destination. It's because of geography that Namibia is sort of like a hidden tourist destination, far from the very busy tourist transit spaces. But before we continue, guys, we've got an ad break to take.
Yeah.
If you lost your show, olotali kutungupo. Oma wa o tomono okutako NHP. Genge wa longifai longifoli lipedu lo wa wo haku. Olo halipiti kwa efikune fiku. Mefiloshi shelo haku oe. Owa woshimali wa oshosha kupako. Washika we delwa komto alando ako. Kashi, koma punglo ena shekinjola welewe. Otodulu okulongifa oma wa oe. Wa hupuko, opo unamiti toshiningi momikalo dihapungashi. Okufuti lapo oimali wa ishona. Oyo hodulu okupolwa. Ulifutila ove mwene, omaya kulo olu hapu, hakala ina kwa telwa, mouwawe kwa folo elu unamiti, ile, otojulu no kuli, okupitifapo e mwe didonumba, tokala ino futa ea kulolo elu unamiti. Kowyalele uhapu, talela po nhp.com.na. Ema ngo nomalandola fwana ododi na okulandulwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Efiloshisho utali kulandulako na vewayuka. Ekwashilipalekolo marwendo paiwano kupitila mo NHP. Watupateleko mesho ekwashilipalekolo afika mafio pedola emilio na omlongo da Namibia. Moshi joshe tukeshe kuyanja omakwafo unamiti enashane filo shisholo paulumo mumbu. Kwa aboveli ponje yoshilongo, shijoshi topo washo ijo yetu, tashiningwa inapawe banando ishoshe layash. Opo umone ya kulolo polis moule ominute disyonailela, lishangifako nhp.com.na. Omanga ino ya morwendo. Ponjeo Shilong. E mangono malandula fano odo dino kulandurwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Why do you seem so worried? Don't be worried. Okay, we are 2 minutes into the hour of seven. Obviously, that brings us to the end of Home Run for today. Until tomorrow, same time, same place, different topic. From me, y'all have a good one.
And on my side, guys, let's see each other again, same time, same place tomorrow on the Home Run. Remember, we will have that first 30 minutes designated to the
Itani Child Lion Radio program.
Yes. And then, obviously, we'll be taking it from there with the rest of the Home Run program.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.